Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to book work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are for mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Well, no matter how many times I hear that, it never gets old. Old King Shazoo's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. That's what you're listening to if you stumbled up in this place that we call the Matrix. So, you know, today, name this show. This is what, you know, I usually try to get some sort of title going on because it makes it a little bit easier than just looking for a date or a number on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. So you get a general idea how the discussion started. Of course, they always take on a life of their own. And so it's hard to say what all you're going to hear in that show, but in today's process, couldn't come up with a name for this show, so I'm going to give that opportunity to you, the person listening, the people listening out there, to name this show. Whenever this show's done, if you happen to stick through it, throw a title in there that you think would probably best represent, you know, today's content, however it turns out, because looking out here and all the headlines, there's so much craziness going on. It's just mind blowing. You know, there are good things, there's bad things, there's worse things, there's crazy things, evil things. You just name it. It's going on. You know, we got everything from possible mini ice age predicted 2 years ago to be occurring somewhere in 2021. The inconvenient truths of Republican Party, It's kind of, we live in an upside down world. If you actually listen to one side of the story, it's completely opposite and upside down of the opposite point of view. Of course, I guess that's expected whenever people are trying to make themselves look good. But nonetheless, it just, it's mind blowing how many different stories are available out there that is either passed off as news or used as propaganda. It's hard to get a grip on it. It's really hard to try to focus your brain in on a resolution to problems when it seems like somebody out there at least wants you to believe that there are too many problems to resolve. Now I get to the point sometimes I think, you know, why waste my time? What a waste of time just to do this and sit here and try to, you know, reason with the world and communicate with people from all different countries and stuff and see what we can do. We're like some little secret club, it seems like. All of us Knights of the Round Table and all the people that listen in, we just like this secret club that nobody knows about, or, you know, insignificant speck in the grand scheme of things or whatever. That's what it feels like sometimes. I know that ain't necessarily the case, because if you throw a positive pebble in the pond, it sends ripples out and everyone in the pond's affected. So I think that if we keep on doing what it is that we do on a regular basis, that, you know, eventually, it's kind of amazing. Every once in a while, I'll say something that I'm pretty sure that it was original that I said, and then years later, or maybe even only months or weeks later, I'll hear somebody else on another YouTube channel use that same phrase, pretty much exactly the same way that I'm talking about it. So I think that subconsciously or consciously, one way or another, however you look at it, that ripple made it out there, and that little seed of a message got over the fence, so to speak, over that brick wall we seem to be hitting. There's so many different solutions available that we could resolve so many different problems out there. But you have this dark side out there constantly doing something just totally rotten and just discouraging and, you know, distracting and all this kind of stuff. There's a guy named, what's his name, Barbara Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Really rotten guy, been you know, doing some bad things, and there's been a lot of high profile characters that you know, go visit him on his little island and all kinds of other. When you go down this rabbit hole, you're gonna go down a deep rabbit hole, because there's so many high profile and you know, upper echelon people involved in this particular situation. You know, if justice is served, you're going to see a lot of people out there, you know, senators and congressmen and TV personalities and doggone media outlet personalities. You're going to see them, you know, charged with crimes. There's a lot of stuff that these folks are involved in. You know, like what I said mentioned earlier, the inconvenient truth about the doggone Republican Party. If you actually go back and look at the entire history of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, you're going to notice something different. You know, it's like upside down world, whereas the Republicans are recognized today's day and age as racist and sexist and all this kind of stuff. If you go back and look at the history of what they've done, it just doesn't jive with the narrative coming out from the other side. Now, am I saying I know? I don't know. How could I know? I mean, I used to consider myself a Democrat until all this craziness went down, and then I got further away because I started realizing maybe I'm not a Democrat, because I lean more towards conservative ideas, you know, and constitutionalism or whatever. But it could all be part of the game. You know, I was indoctrinated just like the majority of all you. No matter what nation you're in, it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, UK, Ireland, Scotland, whatever, you know, Canada. You've got the same indoctrination, because these people at the top, the money man of the world, you know, they know what they're doing. They know how to manipulate trends and do all this stuff. And And for some reason, they think that they're so far above the law that nothing applies to them that would apply to us as far as how the law is actually written. Things that we would not get by with, they're constantly getting by with. So factoring everything I just said in there, you can understand why it's hard to try to put a name on a show when you can't even focus in on one idea that would be a good starting point to, you know, opening up dialogue between all the Knights of the Round Table and the listeners and people in the chat room to, you know, what we can do to fix all this stuff. I'm still not a believer in the thought that it's too far gone and there ain't nothing we can do about it and we're just simply going to have to ride the storm out. I don't think so, because I think there is a big battle going on both spiritually and physically between the dark and the light, and there are good people on both sides of the fence. No, not both sides of the fence. Good people on one side, rotten people on the other, with two opposing agendas, and most of which have to do with who's going to be controlling us, who's going to be telling us what we can or can't say or do or wear or anything like that. It was George Orwell's 1984 book, I think it was, and The Brave New World by, what was that guy's name? Do you know that one, Barbara?
Yeah, Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
Brave New World. Yeah, you should watch that movie, because it appears that this is where we are heading, to the Brave New World. Although we need to, we're putting on the brakes in many ways, but well, you go on. I just wanted to say that the way we said, well, you said I don't have a title for this show because there's so many things, there's so many tentacles to this, what we're looking at, and I have to say, I'm stumped myself, and you know me, I'm never stumped.
Yeah.
But you are never either, but the point is, I think this is important, what we're saying, that there are so many things that are being exposed today, and there were so many wackadoodles, and there were so many conspiracy wackadoodles, nutcases, and things being disclosed, and there's Space Force, and there's 5G, and there's...
Oh,
this.
Okay, you just hit something. When you said Space Force, you just hit something for me. I've got to say this. I don't know if you've even checked it out, but... Alright, here's just a little teeny tiny example, and I actually spoke about this on the Mad Science Show yesterday, of why the world is going really crazy. There's this doggone deal that started off on Facebook, and it's talking about Russian, bum rushing Area 51. All these people were talking about gathering, and basically got it up to like 500,000 signatures on this deal that say that they're either interested or they will go. And their plan is that they want to get up there and rush the borders of Area 51. And their thought is that they can't catch them all, and they want to be able to get to the other side to see aliens there.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a really bad idea.
Well, I didn't go into that. I saw the headline, and I thought, yeah, there's a bunch of wacky people. What on earth? Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, they want to see the aliens, you know. I said, be careful what you ask for.
Well, the thing about it is, if 500,000 people decide to do that, there'll be 500,000 people that are probably never seen and heard from again.
Never going to be seen again. Well, we've had a lot of people missing in the past year, so yeah, they're just going to join the, what is it called, the off-planet slave trade.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably run right through some sort of Stargate into a prison planet or something like that.
It's one of the portals that CERN has opened up, so be careful where you go.
But either way, it's just one little teeny tiny example of, you know, first social media madness. We know we got social media censorship, and we know we got social media propaganda. We got... When you try to reach in here to make sense of what's going on and try to hope for the best that, you know, somebody's getting this thing sorted out or we're all getting it sorted out together, it's just mind-blowing that no matter what day you pick up, oh, get, turn that, click that mouse, on the headlines out there, and when you see all the craziness that's going on, it's like...
Well, I think people...
Go ahead. I was stumped.
It's like what? We don't even know what it's like. Because it's just... Well, what's happening is, it seems to me like people are exploding everywhere. I mean, their minds, their brains, their emotions are exploding. I mean, people are being spinning and pushed and pressured, and mainstream media, I suppose, or the way you say social media, I don't know if it's so social, but, you know, like the old-fashioned social. Let's go to a social, bring your special dish, and we'll play some music.
It's more like anti-social media
nowadays.
It's
anti-social media. But it's like the people, and we've been talking about this, haven't we, for so long, about how the chaos is rising. I spoke about that so much because that was a prophecy, and we would see people's behavior that would stun us and shock us. And, well, I don't know how much more I can be stunned and shocked. It just keeps happening every day when I'm looking at what people are involved in, what people are doing. And so I think people are reaching their tipping point. Are you going to say 500,000 people are going to, you know, invade the Area 51 because they want to see the aliens, because the government has been lying to them, and they all, you know, have been pressured into believing that there's a bunch of aliens living down there, and that's very possible.
Well, like, if they do manage to get past the military, which is really highly unlikely, or the police force, and they do get in there, let's say hypothetically they do see aliens, they're not getting back out, because by that time the reinforcements moved in, and they're already out of gas, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not saying there aren't ETs there.
Well, there could be. You know, but I'm saying they're never going to get outside to be able to tell nobody. We're never going to hear from them again. They'll be down in Guantanamo and stuff, getting waterboarded or something.
Yeah, their family would say, whatever happened to Uncle Joe? You know, he went off with these 500,000 crazy people heading for Area 51, and they were going to prove to the world whatever. But well, you have 500,000 people with that much passion to do that. Why don't they go out and plant trees?
Yeah.
Think of that. If every one of those 500,000 people took a little seedling and planted it somewhere, wow, what a difference. Or go out there and clean up the ocean, or go out there and take the plastic off the beach, or... I'm just saying.
Well, I was saying yesterday that if 500,000 people wanted to focus their energies instead of going down there and getting mopped by the military, instead taking all this technology that we've been sharing with them for years, we could build our own UFOs. Heck, you don't need to go down there and see what they got. You could do it. I mean, we could make all so much stuff together.
Well, they've been there. That's been done.
Yeah.
The UFOs have been done. They've already been built by... Well, the Nazis started the whole thing. We could say that.
Yeah, but the whole point is, like you said, it was all focusing in on something positive instead of going down there trying to... Man, that's just like... I can't believe how stupid people... I mean, I know that sounds kind of rude.
Well, listen to this. Here's a question, and somebody has something to say about this. Here it is. Are white people too stupid to survive?
Well,
I mean, this is a legitimate question somebody has asked here. You know, it's a strong case that they are too stupid to survive.
I think that it goes across all nationalities myself, because... If you go take and watch some of these protests with the folks they call like Antifa, and some of the things that they do and some of the things that they say, what's this one guy's name? He put out this video about this meme called NPC, and Paul Joseph Watson, he put a video out about this meme was really upsetting the liberal side of the thing, because it basically depicts them as being basically zombie robots or something like that, and they just repeat, and when you try to get some facts out of them, you can't get no facts, they get angry and violent.
Right.
And so, in that crowd, you got all different races involved in it, And so I'm just wondering, is it something in the water that is doing this?
Well, that's a good question. I've been noticing a spike in people having these fist fights in McDonald's and all these fast food places. I mean, this is like a trend now.
Are they videotaping it for YouTube, or are they just...
Well, they're videotaping. Somebody's always videotaping something, and don't you know, it pops up on YouTube. So you see these people. I saw this whole family, two families fighting fisticuffs at Disney World. Yeah, the happiest place in the world, Disney World. There they were punching each other and pulling hair.
Then what the heck you got to fight at Disney World?
Well, they'll find something, I'm just saying. Everybody's going to find something. If you looked at me or you stepped on my foot or you whatever,
you touched me,
whatever.
I didn't like your red hat.
I see this spike in people. So I said, this got to be the fast food. You're saying, what's in the water? I always ask that question. What is in the water? What are they drinking? What water are they drinking? What's their environment like? What's the food they're eating? And now you see this spike in insanity in these fast food people. Oh, you didn't give me the right order, and they punch the guy, you know, behind the counter. Or you didn't give me my order fast enough, and they punch somebody because they want to punch somebody. Because I'm saying people are being pushed to the max. People are beyond, you know, recovery.
I think you're right. I honestly think you're right. I think that information overload and all these different things. You know, you start off like years ago, and you think about how the entertainment industry told all these little kids how they had to look and how they had to dress, you know, what was cool and what wasn't cool, what was in style and what ain't style, and they set trends and all that.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the process of thinking for yourself just started going down the toilet, so to speak, because now you had to look and see what your favorite celebrity was doing. Like when people put on them pink hats and they run around, first off, it's kind of nasty the way that they talk about these doggone hats out there, but it's...
You mean those protesters out there?
Yeah, and...
Those vagina hats?
Yeah, and so they're sitting there, and they'll put one of these hats on their head.
Oh, I said that word, excuse me, everybody, that's a word you must not speak.
Well, that's a science word, so I guess that's all right. It could have been worse. But... No, what I'm trying to get at is there will be some people who will put those hats on, but they won't even have any idea what it represents. And yet, if you wear a red hat with Make America Great Again on there, that doggone hat right there is automatically deemed to be whoever's wearing that is racist and hateful.
Well, it's a Nazi.
Yeah, well, there were
two... It's a Nazi and a fascist. This is how that's gone.
There were two games.
Doesn't matter. You could be somebody's grandpa who just happened to go out and vote and go like that hat because you needed a hat. You're going to be pummeled in the street and a milkshake's going to be thrown in your face.
Yeah, there were two gangs that I'm pretty sure that everybody listening in probably have heard of before. One was called the Bloods and the other was called the Crips. One of them had a red bandana and the other one had a blue bandana.
Yeah.
And if you got caught in the wrong area with the wrong color of bandana, don't matter if you're part of the gang or not.
You could be an innocent bystander wearing a blue bandana.
But that color was enough to trigger them. You see what I'm saying? That red or blue. Oh, he's wearing blue. He's a Crip or a Blood.
Well, it's the same thing with words. Republican or Democrat, you know, whatever. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Well, gosh, I mean, what are we going to fight about next?
So what if my hat is red, but it says nothing about Trump or Make America Great? What if mine says Go Chiefs or something like that on there? And just because it's red, and somebody ain't going to take the time to read it, they're automatically going to assume that I'm a racist or something just because they saw that color red.
What are we talking about? We're talking about psychological warfare here.
Yeah.
We're talking about brainwashing. We're talking about, you know, the end of critical thinking. Well, that's been going on for a while. The deliberate destruction of critical thinking, like you say, because, you know, this is a big thing. you have to sell your product. So how are we going to sell our product? No matter what it is, it could be poison to put on the earth, but you have to sell that product. Or you have to sell your clothes or your shoes or whatever you have to do. You have to sell it because you need money, because, you know, you want to support your mansion, you want to support your big cars or whatever. And you go to the nth degree to sell that product, even to go dip into the darkest stuff just to sell your product. And this is what we're looking at today. But you have people sitting there in front of a TV or watching whatever's, and this brainwashing, you know, this subliminal messaging comes through. Well, you will be happy and joyous in your kitchen with your mama and your dad if you, you know, if you take this pill. It's like, you know, the depression thing.
Yeah.
Like the depression, the levels of depression in this country, I'm not surprised, you know, are spiking unbelievably. So now that's a good product to sell you, anti-depression. That's a good product. You want to sell that. You want to sell your product. So you will go to any length to sell your product. This is where we are. But people's critical thinking, they can't determine, do I need that? Do I, you know, what will this do if I take my charge card out again? Like, you know, okay, let's talk about the prescribed holidays that we are all ruled by. Okay, prescribed holidays. Who set these holidays up? And who pushes the holiday merchandising? Who pushes this where you have to go out and spend tons and tons of money, put yourself in debt for one day or one night or one morning or whatever it is?
Yeah.
What's wrong with, I mean, what's wrong with people that you're going to max out your charge card? Because if you don't buy this gift, or if you don't get tons of gifts or whatever on this holiday, this prescribed holiday by the authorities, in my estimation, that has prescribed everything to destroy us and ruin us and take us down and cause insanity. So, because people will get mad at you. Oh, you forgot my birthday. Oh, you didn't give me a whatevers. You know, I mean, this is the insanity that we are dealing with. People are so reactive. People are so, like, the rage level in people is right there at the surface. It's verging right there, right to explode. And it is exploding everywhere.
Well,
everywhere.
People
are punching each other. People are kicking each other, spitting on each other.
Since everybody's already crazy, I got a business idea that we could do.
You're including everybody, okay.
Yeah, so, well, what we need to do is, because that thing's supposed to happen in September, we need to get us a whole bunch of different size shirts and write a deal on there that says, I survived Area 51. You know, maybe
have
some bullet holes in the front and the back and all that kind of stuff. And sell it to the people before they go into the deal, because we might not have
as many
buyers.
Well, there you go. That's a good thing. I like that idea. You know, what just came to my mind is people who are doing things so they can become a star, immediate YouTube star.
Yeah.
They're going to these, doing these things that are, you know, so not just crazy, but really vile stuff. Doing these things so they can become a star on YouTube.
Like the Tide Pods?
Yes.
Why would you put that in your mouth? Seriously.
Well, you want to be a star? You'll do anything to be a star. You're an instant star for 10 minutes, and then the next video comes up and you're forgotten.
Like the guy that shot himself in the face with the bottle, the Roman candle. I mean, and then he said, well, I didn't think it hurt so bad. I'm like, what?
I saw this video of this guy. I mean, people are crazy. I mean, I think we got that. This guy had something in his pants that was an excessive sparkler, you know, I'm going to say. You know, like, It was shooting fire and sparkles, and he had it in his pants. So it looked kind of lewd, okay?
Yeah.
So what happened, though, was that it shifted and went into his face.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Then his shirt caught on fire, and then he fell on the ground. And he's rolling himself around to try to put the fire out. This is stupidity. Downright stupidity. Well, he had his moment of fame there, and that was it. Next one. Next.
Now what he's got. He's probably got some nasty old burns.
You know, Angeling put up, we were talking about missing people. He said over 2,000 in Scotland alone are unaccounted for. There's no trace, no leads, they're all vanished. I'm assuming there's probably more than 2,000, because this is across the world. There are actually, you know, videos on this stuff. People's missing people.
Yeah, from state parks and everything.
Huh?
I said, yeah, from state parks and everything. There's certain places where people can just keep coming up missing all the time. And I was sitting there wondering, when I was standing in Walmart one time looking at all these pictures on the deal, where do these people go? You know, maybe there's we already know there's underground sex trafficking and stuff like that. So, you know, and kidnapping.
Well, probably even the slave trade.
Huh?
No, they call that, there's a term, and I can't pull the term up right now, but what it is people are being abducted and taken off the world out there and used as slave. I can't remember the name of it, but that's why I keep saying don't get on the ship, you know, because they're going to promise you a job and they're going to promise you all beauty and wonderful and peace and everything, but they're going to set you up in that enslaved circumstance, you know.
Well, there was a movie out there.
There's all these theories.
There was a movie out there where the doggone aliens invited everybody on there, and people didn't realize that the aliens were gathering up people for food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't want to be alien food. I think I'll just stay home.
Well, I've been looking at the Jeffrey Epstein, just to get back to Mr. Epstein. I've been looking at what was going on, and I'm actually very delighted that this man, who's only one part of a dark web of many people involved, as you said earlier, political people, all kinds of people in high mucky-muck places that are going to be exposed, and they're all the Hollywood elites. They all know what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. They all know what Harvey Weinstein was doing. Now they're all shaking in their boots saying, well, some of our faves are going to be, you know, are going to be exposed with what Jeffrey Epstein was doing with children. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is dark stuff, and this is really evil stuff. So I was really pleased that this man has finally been put behind bars. Now he's going to have some kind of a whatever to see if they're going to let him out for bail. So he can spend his time under a house arrest in his $77 million mansion in Manhattan.
How are they going to keep him from skipping out going to some place that's non-extraditable?
Well, he has places outside this country, and that's what they're saying. They don't want to let him loose because he will find a way out. He will find a way to escape. They got him now. And the New York Police Department is involved in this, the FBI is involved in this, and so on. And I'm very pleased because this is part of the lifting of the curtain to what has been going on in this country and the world, because this touches on people in the world, big people, who are, you know, these people, I don't know what happens when there's blackmail involved here too, by the way. He had cameras everywhere, and big people were invited to all of his events and his Epstein Island, which they call, you know, the Lolita Express, the plane that you fly there with young girls. So you have all this involvement here in this really dark stuff, and so there's blackmail here. But I was thinking, these people are in a class of their own. I'm not in that club. You're not in that club.
No.
I'm not a billionaire, a millionaire, or a trillionaire, but that's what these people are. What, they get bored? What is it? It's sort of like, I feel, when you sell your soul to the devil, you are told by that devil, or you assume then, or you are, it designates you to be able to do anything of your wildest, most sickest, most craziest dreams. You could do anything you want.
Yeah,
nobody will know, and you will be free. You can do what you want. And is that, I mean, I know that's what happens to these people, but it seems to be, now I'm not saying that there aren't people involved in these pedo porn places and on the web and sex trafficking or molesting of children, they're not high up mucky mucks. It's not just them. But these people seem to take particular, you know, whatever, freedom. They can do whatever they want.
I think it's like a power trip kind of thing to know that you're that far above the law, that you got all these people who's going to back you no matter what you do, and you can get by with it.
Well, and so they have been far above the law for so long that I am very pleased now that this is going to be the biggest bomb, because just the other day, a big pedo ring in Canada was, the police, you know, got involved and they started arresting people. They're talking about 60,000 people involved. More in the United States, by the way, than in Canada with this porno site.
So that's a whole lot of people.
It is. But that's just one site. That's just one tiny site compared to a mass of sites like this going on. And I have to say, a couple of years ago I read that the police files, they were saying that something had shifted in the porn field, in the pornography field, where it has dropped into a darker, more evil place, because now they want children involved. Now they want to see violence, not just sexualizing children. They want to see violence against the police. Were saying this, and they've noticed a shift. So for me, what I feel is this is, again, when you take the innocent, the vulnerable, the most innocent and the vulnerable and the most sacred children, because they are sacred, they are innocent and vulnerable, when you molest them, when you do harm to them on whatever level, that is to me like a frequency and energy of that trauma, of that despair. That's a frequency and an energy that feeds the most dark. And that's how I look at this, because as we've spoken about, everything has energy and frequency. And the dark, the negative, wants more of that in order to survive, in order to exist, just like the light. It needs the light, it needs love, it needs joy, it needs compassion in order to survive, in order to exist. So this is what I feel we're dealing with. I think these people are working for something so evil. They may not know it. Some people may not know that. They may have just been sort of drawn into it, like that Dutch banker. There's a video about that Dutch banker who got involved in the darkest, deepest evil groups of people. And when they asked him, incrementally they were pulling him in the way he was describing it. And he's talking on video, and he starts weeping because he said he woke up. He said, I was like in a dream. And this is what I'm going to talk about, this mesmerizing. There's a lot of mesmerizing is magic, okay? Mesmerizing people so that they can't see reality, that they are pulled in and drawn in incrementally. It's a level of mesmerizing or magical controls of people where they can't see clearly, they can't have critical thinking, they can't discern evil. And they get involved. But he said he woke up. He said he was like in a dream. And this man said this. And he said he woke up during this event that he was invited to, as incrementally they took him deeper and deeper. And then this one event as he was invited to, he said they wanted him to sacrifice a child.
Oh, man.
And the man was weeping, and he said, that's when I woke up from this dream. That's pretty powerful. When you talk like that, you know that there's this magic, mesmerizing, brainwashing thing going on with people.
Well, and that could explain a whole lot of way that people act out there in them protests, because it don't seem like you can't logic with those folks. No matter what you say, unless you find one that maybe is just on the verge of waking up because just something don't seem right, what they're doing, and then you can hit a key word that'll trigger something in their mind and they'll actually start paying attention to what you're saying. But for the most part, if you say anything contrary to what they're talking about, they ain't got no facts to argue with you over. They just get angry. They just lose it. So maybe it's like on a larger scale than we think. You know, when people are talking about their concerns about 5G network and stuff like that, who's to say that there aren't a certain portion of society that are not as susceptible to the effects of what people believe the mind control would be through 5G. So like you and I, we could be in the same exact crowd while they're doing that, but because of our mindset, we're not going to be affected. We're not going to be like turned into zombies, so to speak. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But well, I have witnessed mesmerizing. I've been present when I've observed mesmerizing of people. How something will happen right in your face. It's right there in your face. Okay. And then a mesmerizer, or a person who is a good mesmerizer or uses the magic of mesmerizing, speaks and twists that circumstance to being something else, so that the people who just witnessed something actually shift into a dream. They shift into what this mesmerizer, this magician, is telling them was actually going on, when in fact it wasn't. Yeah. I have seen this over and over again. So you see, it's sort of like people are in this sleepwalking or dream, or they're mesmerized, and we have numerous things that can do that. You know, you have numerous technologies that can mesmerize people, that can cloud their awareness, you know, take down their critical thinking, their sensory experience, their perceptions of things. This is what I see going on.
Well, there's some folks out there that, you know, they believe in freedom. You know, basically, I'm wanting to not say anarchy, but I'm wanting to say anarchy. Basically, what would be probably the truest version of anarchy, that you do no harm, you do whatever you want, and everything's all right. But the way that got twisted around, it's more everything's acceptable, and even things that aren't moral are still acceptable. You see what I'm trying to
say
here?
Well, they're pushing the populations.
Well, like the drag queen kid, they're glamorizing this kid dressing up like a drag queen as if it's okay, everything's fine.
Their attempt is, and they're verging into this, is to get people to accept what would ordinarily be against morals or against your natural instinct, to accept immoral behavior, to accept the most outrageous, sickening stuff as normal.
Yeah, at some point in history, we all come to agreement here in America, I guess, maybe around the world, that there was a certain age that you were basically becoming an adult and you were old enough to make your own decisions and stuff like that. And so everyone under that age was pretty much a protected class. Even when it come down to the law, you know, if you're what they call a minor, you wouldn't be charged the same unless the severity of the crime was a whole lot more than, you know, just a kid doing something stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. It does make sense. You know, the thing that I just want to return to is the enormity of varying things rising that are jarring and stunning us. And there's so many of them that they have people spinning. But I do want to say that, so you set up a system deliberately where people are struggling and some losing and struggling and having difficulty in life in the whole arena of their lives. You set up this system so that people become frantic, where people become terrified, where people become enraged, and then you start giving them your solutions, okay?
Yeah.
And so they'll jump into that because you are mesmerizing them, because right now they're so reactive, they're in such fear and terror, that if you come up with a solution, it's going to be, of course, your solution that will lead them deeper into reactive behaviors, which is even to the level of insanity or violence. or degrading of others. So you set the system up. So we call that you offered the problem, you create the problem, then you watch the reaction, and then you give them the solution. Problem, reaction, solution. This is what's going on. The people are so stretched, they're so stressed, they're so overwhelmed, they're so frightened, they're so terrorized. And so they're looking for some answer. Well, you're going to give them the answer that you've had planned all along. And there go the people. There's no critical thinking. None at all. They're mesmerized. Magic. Like I say, magic is afoot, right?
Yeah. Well, between all the natural events and the man-made disasters and the crazies and the people wanting to storm Area 51 and all the different radical headlines and all that kind of stuff, I tell you what, it's surprising that more people ain't gone insane. You know, I get offended every single time somebody insinuates just because the color of somebody's skin that they have to be a racist, or because of their political or their spiritual beliefs or whatever, that they're, you know, xenophobe or homophobe. All these different names that they label on, and the mainstream media beats you in the head with that club every single day, and you got people out there who are, you know, like white people, ashamed to be white. Okay, you know, I get it. There were people in the past that did some rotten things, and I sure as heck would not have been party to that, even if I had been back in those days. But the fact is, here I am today, I'm my own man, and I am accused of doing something that I totally disagree with just because of the color of my skin or because of my belief system or whatever. And I haven't even had the opportunity to commit the crime before I'm charged with it. You see what I'm saying? That's why the average white man today is probably as frustrated as he is. And if he wasn't a racist before the whole deal is, how long do you think you could keep pushing at somebody before they finally blow their stack? You see what I mean? And then the innocent people get in the middle of the blowback, because I hear people all the time, and I hear people saying racial stuff all the time, even people in my own circle, and I set them straight. I said, you know, I don't believe that way, but I can understand to some extent their frustration and what drove them to that mindset. I mean, to me, that makes them slightly a weaker person, because they can't overcome and hold on to their morals even after all that stuff. I don't care how rotten you treat me, all right? I'm not going to blame every single person across the board with a wide brush. I'm not going to paint them all with a wide brush just because of the actions of a few people that did something that was rotten. You know, the scales of justice aren't balanced out when you blame everyone for one particular act that was done by maybe a small group of people, because most of the people out there doing this stuff are in the minority. It's not everybody, it's not every person wearing a red hat that's a racist, it's not every, you know, person that's, you know, here illegally that's a criminal. I get all that. But somehow or another, it's been painted out there so that every time we look at each other, we look at each other differently. Like, for example, when 9/11 happened, and they were talking about how the Islamic terrorists had come over and they did what they did and blew down the towers, which later on we pretty much suspect that it was something quite different than the main story. But nonetheless, I found myself looking at people from that area differently than I ever did before. I never even noticed them before outside, you know, color-wise or religious or anything like that. But now, when I see somebody in one of those headdresses, the hijabs or whatever you call it, I have that thought run through my head, because it's been beat in my head with a club by the mainstream media for so many years that these people over there hate our guts. Never mind the fact that these people may have been here all along, way before 9/11 ever even occurred, but was no party to the entire deal. So I got to catch myself and say, I know that that not all of these people are murderers or terrorists or anything like that. I got to catch myself when I go in certain segments of my own area that these people, because they're different than me, they're not all stereotypical hateful people that want to rob you or that kind of stuff. But that's the kind of power that the what you was talking about earlier about being mesmerized and programmed by the mainstream media and even the government, not just the government, but actually people in your own circle who had already been fully indoctrinated or propagandized by the people that are the ones that actually started this problem to begin with. I think if we were all left to our own devices without any mainstream media, that we would be just like those children in the crib. We'd be the little black kid and the little brown kid and the little white kid and the little yellow kid all sitting in the little crib looking at each other like people and not even recognizing color. You see what I'm saying?
You think, yeah,
if it hadn't been for the tampering and the misleading information and all the stuff that kept being popped on our screens every day to try to tell us that people were different, they were rotten, they constantly kept us pitted amongst each other. We can't even talk about our spiritual beliefs without people getting triggered and offended. Because even behind the scenes of that, you got people out there that are, you know, going through extremes to try to put out information that would tell a different story than the one you believe in, no matter what. And then when you, once that seed of doubt's planted in your head, and you got that what if in your mind, you've lost your faith. You see what I mean? Because if you're sitting there doubting yourself, you're sitting there doubting your own decisions, am I a racist? I think sometimes, you know, my mind's making me feel like I am.
Well, you said something very important, because I've sort of reflected on this a while back, because so I have believed and felt, come to believe, that there's a brainwashing, and I've spoken about this again. I have to say this: there has been a brainwashing going on that I guess you'd say a brainwashing occurs, but you don't know you are brainwashed. So there have been information put into your mind and your computer brain, but you don't know that information. Because the mind is like a computer. It takes in all kinds of information. It takes in information that you may not even realize.
Yep.
Subliminal information it takes in. It takes in variably what you're looking at or what you're observing and so on and so forth. So that's how our mind works. It is like a computer, and it holds all information within it. And all information, by the way, can be retrieved. There's a process how to do that. If you think you forgot something, well, you didn't forget it. It's just that it's in a different part of the computer save program in your mind. But there is a way to retrieve all information that you have observed or received or whatever. Because a lot of people say, oh, I can't remember, or oh, I forgot. No, you did not forget. Okay, but there is a way to retrieve it. So I'm looking at the people's, for instance, the prejudice. Now, prejudice is across the board. Prejudice against a different color, prejudice against a different religion, prejudice against the way people appear, like a heavy person or an ultra-skinny person or a person who's walking around in clothing that may not be from Saks Fifth Avenue, you know, a poor person. There's all kinds of prejudices that we have been led to identify. Where does this come from? You know, and I do believe that these things are meant to pit us against each other and are meant to, you know, create dissension and create disharmony within the whole. This is what's going on. So when you think, when a thought pops into your mind, let's say you see a person that we would call overweight or obese, a thought may pop into your mind, a thought that makes you feel disgusted about that person or judgmental about that person. And you might say, wow, where did that thought come from? Because that's not me. That's not who I am. Okay? But it pops into your mind. And I've seen this across the board, and I've experienced it myself with certain things. Like, Yeah, people of color, or people who are poorer, or people who are richer, or people who are dressed, you know, in a way that, you know, which indicates that they don't have money. It's across the board. People, let's say, different, if you have a, see a couple, you know, a white fella and a black woman, or there are things that pop in your mind. These are set prejudices. These are imprinted brainwashing programs that are judgmental of others, whether they're a different religion, whether they wear a turban on their head, or whatever it is. These things will pop into your mind, and I have seen people speak of those things, and I have, and you know, felt it myself, and it made me come to reflect on this. Where is this coming from? It's sort of like imprinted certain things into our minds that will create judgments upon others. Even hatred,
yep.
You know, and even reactions towards someone.
Well, here's an
just
example
like you say,
of that.
The mega hat, right, huh?
Here's an example of that. YouTube bans criticism of honor killings. So, what exactly
wow.
is an honor killing?
Well, who the heck is YouTube to
yeah.
do that?
Freedom
what makes
speech?
It an honor killing?
Freedom of speech, hate speech, and deplatforming. So, honor killing, you know, is part of a culture where if you're a lady and you get caught committing adultery or something like that, they stone you to death. And there's a whole lot more to that story you actually got to go read into. But if you've offended your family, then according to that culture, you're allowed to be stoned to death. That's honor killing. Now here in the United States, we don't accept any killing for any reason. Well, that's kind of questionable.
You better rephrase that.
Yeah. Under certain circumstances,
what do they call
yeah.
it, capital punishment?
Yeah, okay, but what I'm saying is just the average, this is a tricky subject because you could actually take this into executions and abortion and so on, and that really unlocks Pandora's box because people have different opposing views on it. But this particular here deal, when you're talking about stoning somebody to death, that is not even remotely humane to do that. And the crime doesn't fit. You know, somebody done something, they cheated on their spouse or whatever, you know, we as Americans, we get a divorce and go on down the road unless one of the persons involved in the situation gets crazy and kills the other one or whatever because of mad or a heartache or whatever. But nonetheless, if you can't speak out against something that is humanely not right, it's morally not right, and there are platforms out there that are politically correct that will actually shut you down for even mentioning certain words and subjects, you don't have no freedom of speech. And how are you supposed to resolve something like this? I hate to even think about how many people in this world had either had their head chopped off, worst case scenario. Well, being stoned to death is probably, I don't know, either way is bad.
Well, stoning to death went way back to the time of Yeshua, and I think he said that he who, how was it going? If you pick up the first stone,
yeah,
I don't
let,
know.
Let he without sin cast the first stone, and he handed it around
exactly.
to everybody, and nobody would take that stone.
Exactly. It's just like those living glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah.
But I want to read to you what honor killing is. An honor killing or shame killing. Shame killing is the murder of a member of a family due to the perpetrator's belief that the victim was brought shame or dishonor upon their family or has violated the principles of a community or a religion, usually for reasons such as refusing to enter an arranged marriage, being in a relationship that is disapproved by their family, having sex outside of marriage, becoming the victim of rape. Yeah, you can get stoned to death if you became a victim of rape or dressing in ways which are deemed inappropriate and engaging in non-heterosexual relationships or renouncing a faith. You could be stoned to death or shame killed by your family, your brother, your father, or your uncle.
Okay, so let me point something out. All these individuals out there in certain communities that I won't mention because I don't want to get a riot started, but all these people out there that want to be politically correct and say, well, they want YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or any of the social media platforms to shut down anybody who criticizes this particular group of people for doing this honor killing, supposed honor killing. These folks out there, most of which, what you just read in that deal right there, would get these people who want to protect the people who are doing that would get them killed. You see what I'm saying? If they were to ever get everything the way they wanted,
yeah,
this group could kill these people for the lifestyle that they chose.
Well, anything that you say, you have the right to honor kill someone because they are disgracing your dishonoring the word. Listen to this. This is stupid. This is so stupid because it's all about honor, to regain the family honor. So killing someone, murdering someone, regains your honor. How crazy is that? I don't get that, but that's the insanity of a religion or a culture's beliefs.
Well, the side of the fence that I came on my spiritual journey was that the word was thou shalt not kill. It didn't say if and or but, subsection A in article B in the fine print of paragraph D or anything like that. It just plain and simple, thou shalt not kill. And so for anybody to go out there and say, well, yeah, you get your honor back by killing somebody,
that's one book, but there's another book that says that you have a right to honor kill your child.
Yeah.
To gain your family's honor.
What kind of parent could do that? Seriously.
Well, because that's the level of a brainwashing system is what I'm talking about. You have people so severely brainwashed for generations that they would kill their own daughter.
Dang, that
murder their own daughter and feel good about it because now they've regained their honor by murdering their own daughter. Talk about a brainwashing.
Yeah, that's bad.
This is generations and generations and generations. And that's not the only thing about, you know, murdering or whatever. There's so many other brainwashing, things that people abide by that you would be shocked by the behaviors of people. But Gaz, I think he wrote a question. He said, would it be considered racist to insist that races don't interbreed but still hold no hatred for other races? Is that racist? So white breeds, blah, 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 white, black, with black, and so forth. In other words, I don't know what WITJ means, but white breeds with white. Oh, yeah, white breeds with white and black breed with black. Now, is that racist?
Well, in most circles out there, I would say that they would assume that would be, you know, but if... I don't know. I tell you, that's like treading on eggshells.
Well, I think the whole thing of dividing people into race is racist.
Yeah.
It's like, how can... this is, to me, it's so insane. Okay, you're black, you're white, you're brown, you're green, you're blue, you're this, you're that. You must act like this, you must do this, and you must do that, and you're not allowed to do this and so on because of your race or your color or your religion. This is the insanity of where we've come to. This control, it's about controlling people. It's about controlling people, and people are allowing themselves to be controlled.
Well, let's say hypothetically, there was a situation where there was a group of people who decided that they were only going to breed as a family between their own race. All right, first off, they don't even really know their own race because the majority of us all came from different portions of the world. And, you know, like me, I got French Canadian and Cherokee in my blood. And so I wouldn't, necessarily be the prime one to, you know, breed within my own race. Now, color-wise, I guess you could call me white. I'm kind of tan, depending on what year, what time of the year it is. But nonetheless, if they all decided amongst each other that they were only going to breed within their race, and that, but they was going to allow anybody who decided to not to have that choice to do so without the threat of being disowned from the family for doing so. I can't see it working, man. I just can't see it, because you know, people get violent over things. Like, there was I watched a show just last night where there was a group they called the Angels, and it's like an old Western style deal. And if anybody killed your family member, you were obligated to go kill that person, and no matter what, you was obligated to go kill them. And if you came back and you didn't kill them, then they would kill you. And that's just, man, I'm telling you, this world is like upside down world. It's just so incredibly twisted how people will take just any given subject, and they'll take it to extremes. I mean, there are so many extremists in the world. Heck, I might even be classified as an extremist, because I want extreme peace and love throughout the land, and it's probably not achievable in the world that we find ourselves in, but it's still nonetheless the goal that I strive for, because I think that we could live happily ever after together. But dude, we got this dark side that's been
fighting us. Well, you're outside the box.
Yeah, we're good.
You're outside the box, you know. You and I are outside. Some of us are outside the box there, so we're the outsiders.
That's it. That's what I was saying earlier when we first started up the doggone show. We're like this small secret society that believes in peace, hope, and love, and we're trying to get our message over the fence saying, hey, you guys, get out of that fight ring and come over here. You know, we're having a barbecue or something, you know.
Well, I can see how even people who trend towards that can easily be manipulated, mesmerized. That's what I'm talking about. The mesmerizing is very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's deliberate, you know. And I did tell you the story, but I will repeat it, about my teacher and relative, Wallace Black Elk. He told the story of his nephew was murdered by one of his friends. They were in a drunken brawl. Young Indian men on the reservation, or actually they were not on there, because there's no alcohol liquor stores. They were in a little city right outside of the res, little towns, not even a city, all these liquor stores. And anyway, they were in a brawl, and I guess he went too far, and he murdered my teacher's, Wallace Black Elk's nephew. And so then what happened to the one who murdered his nephew was he committed suicide, because when he came sober, he was devastated by what he did. And my teacher, Wallace Black Elk, said, in the way of their people, if that young man had come to him, he would have healed him, healed the sorrow, healed the guilt, healed the grief in a ceremony, but he would have adopted him. He would have adopted him into his family.
Yeah.
This is a whole different way of thinking, a whole different way of being, a human being, you know. It's different than this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and all that other stuff, you know. You hurt me, well, now I gotta hurt you. You did this to me, now I've got to get my revenge, you know. So whatever, and it goes to extremes.
Well, that's sad, you know? Because that's a perpetual thing. It's like what I kept talking about many different shows, about how there was this reporter that asked these two little Palestinian girls whether or not they ever wanted peace with Israel, and their response was, no, we hate Israel, they killed my mommy and daddy. Well, if you flip that over on the opposite side of the fence and ask the same question to two little, you know, Israeli girls, you might get the same exact answer. And it could be a perpetual thing forever, that it's like the Hatfield and McCoy thing. They fought for generations, and then they come to a point where they didn't even know what the heck they were even fighting for.
And well, I don't think people know. I think that's where most people are. They don't know. they have a rage inside of them, and like I said before, this rage is deliberately imprinted in people. That's the system.
It has to be deliberate.
To deliberately get people pitted against each other. Hate, this race thing, is a manipulated situation. I mean, Creator created people of many colors, like Creator created many butterflies, many colored birds, and, well, the people are created in many colors, but we all have red blood inside of us. We all have a heart. We all have a liver. We all have kidneys. We all love our children. We all want peace. We all want a good health and good food. We're all the same.
Yeah.
We're all one family, one big family here, and this is our home, this earth. You know, what happened is there was this intrusive energy frequency that didn't like that harmony, didn't like that balance, wanted to be in control and needs energy of hate. And hatred is a powerful frequency. Murder and violence is a very powerful frequency that feeds something. So people are sacrificing their children. War is a sacrifice. It's a blood sacrifice to fulfill, you know, a feeding of a dark energy, of a dark frequency. Our thoughts, our words, and I've said this so many times, you might think I'm just, you know, again, a wacky doodle, but I'm okay with being that.
I don't think so. I agree with you.
Well, that we are powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. Our words are powerful. And what are we feeding? What are we feeding? Are we feeding the light and peace and harmony? Or are we feeding evil and dark and hatred and violence and all that? Because that's in our hands. We are powerful. And well, there's a plan.
That would be one of the reasons why. Even on the simple, on the joking side, you know how, like, I always say, can't we all just get along? And everybody jokingly says, no, you know? Because somehow or another, it has been imprinted in people's mind, you know, that if it don't have serious consequences, that it's all right to have this little controversy or whatever. I'm not saying this the way I want to say it, but, you know, in video games, like in the video game, it's not real, so it's just a game, right? Well, maybe it's not just a game. Maybe the fact that we kind of have this little urge inside of us to do something rowdy, you know, it's part of that voice on the opposite side of the spectrum that's telling you, oh, it's all right, do this, you know. does that make sense what I'm trying to say to you here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people
need to know what's in the box. Before you know how to fight or how to defend yourself, how to go into battle, especially a spiritual battle, because I do believe we are in a spiritual battle, and it is a battle of our own survival, you know, of humanity's survival. Of our own, the spirit within us and our own well-being and that of our children. You have to know the enemy. You have to know what you are dealing with. You have to know the truth of things. You can't be ignorant and and avoid the truth of what is really going on. There is a big plan, you know, and we're not part of that plan. We are the victims of that plan. Or you want to be a victim? You will be a victim if you're not willing to look or investigate or research and to know what is it that is going on. Because, boy, I have to say, there is something big, and it's not nice. It's not good going on. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that.
Yeah. There's been a few incidents in my life where if I didn't have a spiritual guidance of a really decent pastor at a church, that I probably would have went over the edge by now. I probably would have imploded, because I've seen things in my life, Barbara, that I tell you, I've told people many times, I never went into detail about things that I've actually witnessed and seen in my life. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. Terrible things. And there was one specific incident where I literally had to go to a pastor, and I talked to him. I had tears in my eyes, and I was like, you know, I said, I looked right straight in the face of Satan himself today, and I'm just not coping with it very well. But if it hadn't been for the words of wisdom that come up out of his mouth, and the fact that he would take the time to sit down and listen to me and try to help me walk through this thing, because, you know, according to my belief system, the book said that there are going to be days like this, and I had to put that in perspective. But without that ever happening, I could have easily been pushed over to the dark side for the rage of what I saw, but instead it had an opposite effect where it sorrowed me so deeply to my core that I wanted to try to do whatever I could to try to steer this world in a different direction than what I saw on that side. You see what I mean? I'm really struggling with words to try to explain to people this without going into detail about what I actually saw. Because, I don't want to speak those words into existence, if that makes any sense.
No, I see what you mean, and there are things that I have experienced in my life and things that I have seen that I would not want anyone else to. But these are real, they're not imaginary, they're real, and the thing is, how do you speak to these things? But the point I'm finding that people cannot comprehend, a lot.
Yeah, it takes a strong mind, a strong faith, a strong heart to be able to overcome incidents like that. And I know you know what I'm talking about because you've been there. So
yep.
this is something that when you're trying to get across to people how powerful their words really are, that, you know, we're being really serious about this. Your words are so incredibly powerful. If you look at it on a simple example, you know, you go into somebody just by, you could use the same exact words in both incidents. You talk to two different people with the same exact words, and just with the tone of the way that you say those words, well, you'll get a different response from both people. And you can either raise somebody's spirit up to the highest reaches of heaven with the words that come out of your mouth, or you can drag them down into the lowest, darkest abyss. That's one of the things that makes this show so hard to get through, is because we got to share some terrible things with you, but at the same sense, we don't want to bring your spirit down to the point where you walk away feeling hopeless. And we're not hopeless. We're not helpless. We have powerful words. We have powerful actions that we can take in order to, you know, fend off that darkness that's in our lives. I mean, do you think about somebody who is getting ready to jump off of a bridge, and any one of these folks that's in this chat room right now would be right over there talking to them, no, don't do this. You know, that's a terrible thing. We don't want to lose you. We love you, and all that kind of stuff. But without those words, you could have somebody over there saying, oh, do it, man. We don't care about you. You're just another bottom feeder anyway. Jump. You see what I'm saying? There's the difference right there. That's how powerful you are. They probably would jump if encouraged to do so. But the fact that most people would actually take the time to talk these people off that bridge or a cliff or whatever, that shows that there is hope. No matter how bad things get, that shows that there is hope. You see people going into disasters all the time, rushing in there with food and blankets and medical supplies and risking their life to help people out. You see people doing the same thing for animals. You've actually seen animals doing the same thing for people and each other. So there is some good in this world, no matter how crummy it seems to be right now. There is some good in this world, and that's the point of the Knights of the Round Table, is to put that out there, show you there are problems, but there are also solutions for every single one of those problems. And we got to understand, like you said earlier, Barbara, that if you don't know what's in the box, if you're in that dark, you ain't got no idea what's coming against you. How are you going to fight against it? How you gonna? I say the best thing is just to get out of that box And don't allow anyone out there to manipulate your way of thinking. Think for yourself. And even if you have to look upon the eyes of evil like I have so many times in my life, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I don't care how terrible somebody is. I wouldn't wish the things that I've witnessed in my life onto my worst enemy. And, you know, does that make me, you know, the best person in the world? I don't think so, but I get it. I understand the meaning of life, and I want to share that with people so that they know that whatever they're going through right now, there is some way, somehow, and even if it doesn't happen quickly, that if there's healing available, there's redemption available, whatever you want to call it, there is a way back over to the other side if you choose to try to take that path. Not always easy, especially if somebody's like really seriously addicted to alcohol or drugs or, you know, even sex or whatever. You know, there's a way back over to the other side to get yourself out of that dark spot. But, you know, comes a time that it just seems to be overwhelming. There's no way we can fix this world. There's just no way. And I've been told that so many times. There's just no way. It was all written in stone. And I'm like you. I don't believe that prophecy is written in stone. I believe it's a warning sign, and that if we don't heed that warning, then what we get is what we should expect, because it was already foretold. If you keep down this path, and that's what's going to happen. Like, you do it with your grandchildren all the time, don't you? Don't go slap that bee's nest, because you're going to get stung, right?
That's right, right.
That's where I'm at.
Well, I think that I know people who do not want to accept that there is evil. They don't want to know it. They are abhorred and terrified of it, so therefore they don't want to know it. They don't want to hear anything about this. They don't want to hear that it exists, that it is present, that there are people that are subjected to these entities on many different levels. They don't want to know anything about it. They're just adverse to it, terrified of it, literally, so they don't want to know. But the point is, now those people or persons in particular, a person I know and speak of, is dealing with entities. Well, let me say not dealing. They don't know how to deal, but they're experiencing this evil in their own household, and they don't know how to deal with it because they don't want to accept that it exists. So the suffering all around with their children and grandchildren is very deep. And so you can't deny or ignore the reality and fact and truth of things and think it will go away.
Yep.
It's not going to go away. If you deny it, if you accept that it, well, don't accept that it is, that it exists, this is part of creation, well, how do you gear up for the battle? How do you protect yourself and your children and your grandchildren?
Yep.
You can't. It's impossible.
There's just so many factors to add into what...
But the point I want to make is that we're not making these things up. I don't make things up, you know. And you talk about the things and you say it's difficult to talk about because we don't want to identify or name those things, that they do exist. But these are facts and these are real. And let's not be ignorant and put our head in the sand, because when you do that, well, you're exposed in a different place.
Well,
if you have your head in the sand, if you know what I mean.
There are things that go on in other countries that they probably go on everywhere, but they're more frequently in other countries amongst drug lords and their gangs or whatever. That there are things that go on that are so incredibly hideous that it's just like, You watch some of these crazy Hollywood shows, and you find the worst one that you can find of how people treat one another, and how they can easily take a life, without any kind of remorse or anything like that. I don't feel like anyone has a right to take anyone's life for any purpose. Now, I get it. You know, you got this really terrible person that's running around committing heinous crimes and murdering people, you know, and I'm even on the edge of that right there where that person, you know, either spends the rest of their entire life in a prison cell or they're executed. And, you know, depending on the severity of the crime, there may be some people that are just so dark that there ain't no way to even give them an opportunity to, you know, see the error of their ways. But
I have to address this piece. I saw this the other day and I pulled it up and I'm going to pop it into the People for People chat, because to me we're talking about evil, and we're talking about allowances of evil. We're talking about perpetrating evil, and that's okay. And you think that those people who are perpetrating evil are people of color, or per certain peoples of religion, or certain peoples, male or female? Well, here's something for you. Listen to this. A new chief rabbi says soldiers can rape Arab women to boost their morale. Okay?
That's... Oh, my God.
Now... See,
and even... Look, even rape. Rape, murder are probably by far two of the worst doggone things that I can possibly imagine, and then, you know, it gets even worse, I guess, on the rape side of the deal. But to take and do that to any woman for any reason whatsoever, I just, man.
I'm going to go further with this, because this is not just one male. One rabbi.
It's really beneficial for the entirety of the entire world that I am not God and I'm not in charge. Let's just say that, because things would be a whole lot different.
Well, here's a quote. Although intercourse with a female Gentile is very grave. Okay, get that? You got that piece?
Yeah.
Okay. It was permitted during wartime under the conditions stipulated out of consideration for the soldiers' difficulties, and since our concern is the success of the collective in war, the Torah permitted soldiers to satisfy the evil urge under the conditions it stipulated for the sake of the collective success.
Jeez.
In other words, soldiers can rape innocent women during times of war in order to keep their morale up.
What a mess.
We should all be outraged.
Yeah.
But they start out with, so in the Torah, it says intercourse with a female Gentile is very grave. Now, yeah, but rape isn't very grave at all. It's for the men's morale.
Well, that's pretty much that. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to believe in dark and light, I'm saying that's a hardcore Satan thing, if you ask me. That's the devil. That's the dark side. That's evil. I just can't get a grip on it. There ain't no right. There ain't nothing justifiable about that.
We're
nothing.
Talking a religious book.
Yeah.
We're talking, now that's just one religion. And so we have the Catholic religion, Christian religion. What have they done? Okay, we have all these religions across the board have done such evil in the name of their God. I say, there we are, you know.
Well, apparently they got a different message. If they're Christians and doing that, they got a different message than I got. But, you know, I don't know. I would not support that. I wouldn't.
Of course not, but I'm just saying, so you go right to the book. And you go to these, how, I don't know, it's like, you know, look at the book, who's interpreting these books? This is the whole point, who are the interpreters? And to build the morale of men, it's okay to rape women.
It's not okay. Yeah.
To build the morale, and win, this is going to win, make you, your country's going to win, your people are going to win, because the men need their morales boosted. I'm just sitting here with my mouth open.
Jeez.
And my sister Patty says, "Wow, Barb," and she's right. Wow, Wowie, wowie.
I don't know, but I'm thinking they missed something in that original story. You know, that's just mind blowing. But it's only one tiny example. I mean, it's a huge example, but it's a tiny example in the grand scheme of things, because some of the things that are allowed morally in today's society were unheard of back in the day. If it was going on back in the day, it was going on in such secrecy that nobody knew it was going on, which is that out of sight, out of mind thing that I think has transformed into modern day society that allows people who wouldn't have any part of that to cope with it because it's not happening in their backyard. It's not happening in their house, you know? What's happening down there, what's happening down there in that country, that is on their government. Let them worry about it. But we should all be concerned, because if anybody on this world is being tormented or raped or killed, you know, it affects us all. I really honestly believe, no matter what faith you come from, I really honestly believe what you say, Barbara, about how we're all connected. I believe that with everything I got. I can feel that. I can feel the connectedness in this world. And when people are out there doing things that are totally contrary to that connection, I actually feel something for them as well, but it's different. And I don't know how to explain it. But it's like, it's a sickening in your stomach that it's hurting everybody. It everything that these folks are doing, it's not just hurting themselves. A little teeny tiny example is when they had those riots up there. I can't even remember what town it was now, because there's been so many doggone riots. But either way, these folks were angry at the government, they were angry at the law enforcement, and so they burned down their own community. Now, when you're sitting here talking about how you want equality, you want jobs, you want all this other stuff, and then you go take it out on your own fellow citizens, burning down their places of business, and then wonder why it is that the company that you just burned down or looted and stole all their stuff from, because you can justify this, because it's easy when there's insurance involved. They're going to get paid by the insurance. Never mind the fact that their mentality, their spirit is broken because their own community just come in and robbed them blind and burnt their stuff down. And then you're wondering why it is you can't get a job, and that community, that company never comes back to your community again. If I was a business owner, I wouldn't come back there. Why would I? You've already proven to me that you don't have no respect for me or my services. You just stole everything I had, destroyed it. Now I got to rebuild just so that I can service you again? No. That's not how it works. But these folks don't think about that stuff when they're doing that. So it's kind of mind-boggling to think of where their mind is actually at. It's a free-for-all. I'm getting me a free TV. Ain't nobody gonna know, because there's a riot going on. Everybody's doing it. Everybody doing something rotten, so you get to join in. That makes it justifiable? I don't think so. You know, that I did a video one time. If you ever want to hear me be a foul-mouthed heathen and cuss like a sailor, go watch the video that says Shaziz is pissed. And I was so mad. I was so incredibly mad when I did that video, because I had just watched a video where there, I think it was over in China, and there were these people that were standing around, and there's this little baby, not baby, but a little child, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and this guy is tormenting his child. He's stepping on his arm, and he's kicking him and pushing him around. And there were people standing around while he was doing that, some of which were laughing, one of which was videotaping, and nobody stepped in there to say, stop it. That's wrong. Nobody stepped forward, whether out of fear that they would retaliate on them personally or for whatever sick reason, whatever sick justification, no one stepped forward to save that child. And I said in there, I said, they better be so thankful that I wasn't there, because I don't care everybody who was in that crowd who did not step forward would have felt my wrath, because I was so angry that these people would stand by and not intervene on this child's behalf. And, man, I tell you what, I'm not one to want to be violent. I'm not. But I can understand why it is that there are certain situations that people just lose it and go off the rails. Now, in order to not feed the darkness, we got to find a way around that. We got to find a way to not get people to do that to begin with, not to, you know, push it across that line. You know, if there was ever any kind of, I'm trying to find the right words to say here because I don't believe you should kill people, but if there's any kind of justification, logical justification for taking somebody's life, it's because somebody's sitting there harming a child. The children are born innocent. They don't know the difference between hate and not. They don't know the difference between color and not. They have to learn that there's a difference between color. You put two babies in the bed and they're going to play together and, you know, be curious about one another. Never hate each other. They weren't told yet that they had differences, that they had to hate each other. But when you get to a certain age and you have a chance to actually think about your actions and you have a critical thought that you could actually decide the difference between what's good and evil, and you still allow that indoctrination to keep these differences between you and your brothers and sisters, that's on you. That's your choice at that point. That's not the fault of nobody else. I've told people many a times that I understand you had a terrible life, and I'm sorry that you did have a terrible life. I had a rough one myself. But you got to find a way past that, because you can't justify all your future actions from what all the past atrocities that have occurred to you or anybody else for that matter. So, like what Martin Luther King said, to judge a man by his content of his character instead of the color of his skin, that meant something when I heard it. I don't know what it means anymore, but that meant something when I heard it. It meant that you wait till somebody does something rotten to judge them for what they're doing, instead of falling into the indoctrination. We're different. That we don't belong together. They don't want us talking together. You're afraid of that homeless man because he might want to go buy some drugs. You won't pick up that guy that's broke down on the side of the road and give him a ride to the fuel station because he might be an axe murderer. There's a terrorist behind every bush, and everyone's out to get you. The paranoia and the just sheer madness that's going on in this world is a pre-planned evil. There's no other way to explain it. It's pre-planned. It was set there to cause a problem, and then they suddenly come in with the solution. All right, well, we're going to make sure we're taking everything away, and everybody's going to be equal, and we're all going to live happily ever after in this communist utopia. Well, how well has it worked so far? I don't know. I'm just rambling at this point.
Well, Angel says the worst thing the Creator did was make us with an unlimited imagination capable of nearly anything. And Red responds and says, it was a special gift, Angel. Never knew we could be so dumb.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
But I still think...
He gave us everything. Listen, Creator, he, whatever, gave us everything that we would ever need. Gave us all the medicines, gave us clean water, gave us, you know, fresh air, good food, fruits of the land, everything, plus free will. Ah, there you go.
So wouldn't you say with all that we were given a choice, that there it was, it's up to us, it's our responsibility of what we do with this?
That's what you do with your children.
Yeah.
You say, okay, now you're on your own, go out the door, you're going to go down, you're going to fall down, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to learn a lot, hopefully you learn from your mistakes, and hopefully you become a better person. This is a big school. That's what we are in. We're in a big school. We were given free will. We were given a brain and intelligence or not, if you want to become that or not, or stupidity. You can become that too. Whatever you want, you can become. It's a big school. But you're going to have to, you know, when you go, how are you going to be, how are you walking in your life today is, to me, the key. You know, I was thinking, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic family that was not a fun place to be. I was terrorized and terrified and so on and so forth and had a whole bunch of stuff. And, yeah, my brother became an alcoholic. And, I mean, the whole mess. Well, I don't go around hating people. I didn't punish my children brutally. I'm not an alcoholic. I didn't choose that. I have free will. But there are people, you can spend the rest of your life blaming others, okay, for your behavior. Well, I'm acting this way because I was punished as a child, or I beat my kids because I was beaten. That's the way you do it. Or I'm an alcoholic because, yeah, my dad was an alcoholic. Or, yeah, I did this and I did that. So, yeah, okay, I'm good. I think I'm good. I've always been good. People say, how are you? I say, are you doing good? I'm trying to do good.
It's not as easy as it sounds, but we're trying.
No. Go ahead, take a little break if you need it. I'm here. I'm just looking at everybody. It's good to see everybody here in the chat with all your chatting going on and all your insights and opinions, you know. And yeah, so this, I did see this, Gaz put in that the governor, Andrew Cuomo, signed off on a legislation Friday to make his state one of the few of the country to ban race-based hair discrimination. I saw this video of this teacher in a classroom, had a student with, I guess he had an afro, something along those lines. But it was, you know, something he chose to whatever, express himself, whatever. Well, she was cutting his hair off. And I've seen several different things. Somebody with braids, a lot of braids in their hair, that beautiful way some women braid their hair, was told to leave the classroom or not accepted because of her hair. You know, so Van says, so if someone in New York gets a hair permanent to change the state of their hair, it's racist? You know, it's like, that's how crazy it's going to get. Yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy about the hair thing. I'm just saying. So, yeah, so that's what's going on in our world. And we started out this show by saying we don't know what to title the show, because there are so many things, so many directions, so much that is going on. You know, speaking of so much going on, I found this interesting that there was a blackout yesterday, a major blackout in New York City. And, of course, people were stuck in elevators, the subways weren't running, and I don't know all what happened. But it happened to fall on the anniversary of the major blackout in 1977. So, that's kind of interesting to me. How does something like that happen? You know? That blackout actually falls on the anniversary of another blackout in 1977. Okay, you're back. Welcome back.
I'm turning my AC on for a second. It's getting a little hot in here, so you might hear a little wind in the background. But yeah, there's a lot of solar-related activity that could be playing a huge part in, you know, blackouts like that. But I would have thought by now that they could have done something to ensure that wouldn't be a possibility, you know.
I think something caught on fire. One of those, there was something else going on where something blew up and caused another blackout. Who knows what that's caused from.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But nonetheless, I don't know, sorting through all that and being prepared for the future and stuff like that, I don't think half this world, I think the majority of this world, if the lights went out today, they'd be lost tomorrow. It's just, they're not ready. A lot of folks, you got 21-year-old kids and above that can't even change a tire on their car. Why would you even want to drive a car if you don't even have the knowledge on how to change the tire? You know? So, factor in all this other madness going in, all the different headlines that we have to cope with on a regular basis, the ridiculousness of how people are acting, and then that they can't even take care of themselves if the government ain't there to do it for them, we got issues. I still think we can work through it, but it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot more effort. I don't know what to think. You got any thoughts about that?
Well, I'm at a point where I find myself having to Google what to do about the madness in the world.
Did you find any answers? Well, some people's points of view is that there needs to be a calling and they need to go out and just murder all the stupid people. Like we mentioned earlier about the folks that were going out to, they say they're going to go out to Area 51 and storm the base out there, which they're not going to fare so well if they do that. And I'm advising that if you got that thought in your mind that you reconsider. But it could actually be a government or a secret society plan to get rid of people with lesser educations, if that makes any sense.
Well, I am going to read madness quotes. Okay, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Yeah, they're the ones shouting the loudest. Unless you go on the opposite side of the fence with the protesters.
Well, we're called crazy, weird and mad if we think we can change the world, if we think there are solutions, you know?
Well, we've sat here for how many years and listed solution after solution for everything from alternative energy to alternative medicine. Folks, if you want to go and sit back and listen to some of the podcasts that are available at ShazizRadio.com and People for People Radio Network, you're going to find hundreds of podcasts, and in every single one of them we talked about different subjects and solutions out there. We talked about justice as well, you know, things that need to be resolved in society. But nonetheless, for every single problem that was presented to us, we presented links to all different types of solutions in every different direction under the sun. So where there's a will, there's a way. The problem is, who's beating down the will of the people? I mean, you know, here's something. Say the reason why they like to keep people on the welfare system is so that they're always going to, like, number one, vote for the people that kept them on the welfare system. But it also keeps you in line too, because if you step outside of line, you don't get that government check anymore. And so they'll do whatever they have to do, and when they think it's threatened, they will attack anybody who opposes that, such as, you know, people say, wait, we can't afford to be giving, you know, all these people from other countries, you know, free health care and free money just because they came across the border. Now, if they
can't. Why don't you tell it like it is? Because the Democrats are using this term, illegal.
Yeah. Well,
they're saying they want illegal people to be given licenses to drive.
Yeah.
They say they want illegal people. I mean, I don't get that.
Which state was it that actually made their ID cards look just like the driver's license?
California.
So, they're making it easy so that people will be incentivized to break the law and not come through the gate like they're everybody else who stood in line all them years. And it's creating one heck of a mess. But when's the cutoff point? How many people can we accept from other countries and still be able to have, you know, an economy or even a nation ourselves? Here's a solution to that problem. Instead of incentivizing these people to come here and basically bring the bad portions of their culture with them that you obviously know isn't going to mix with our culture. You know, Islamic culture and our culture's not jiving. We're not going to go under Sharia law. We're too used to our freedoms. But you take... instead of incentivizing these people to come here for free health care and free food and free everything, then maybe you work with that other nation to help them repair what's broken in their nation so that they don't even want to leave home. You see what I mean? If America can do it, then the rest of the world can do it. And we can be, instead of going out there blowing up their country because they're supposed terrorists, we should be out there trying to help them fix these things that are problems in their deal. You know? Lead by example kind of thing. We can amass tons and tons of guns and ammunition and food and medical supplies to go over to a country. We don't even actually have to go there. We can send robotic drones over there and blow them back into the Stone Age, which basically becomes a perpetual war, because now they're not obviously going to like us anymore because we just did that. So they're going to want to retaliate in any way they can. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is I can't figure out where the hell the common sense is. Excuse me for that, but it's just frustrating. Where is the common sense in all of it? Because if you keep on blowing these people up, they're obviously going to want to retaliate. If you keep on allowing all these different cultures to just basically storm like Area 51, it ain't going to go so well. If they're storming America, and America gets to the point where it's worse than it is now, and it's pretty bad right now, because you're seeing different cultures destroy, you know, a society, you know, not because they're rotten people, but because they're basically incentivized to do so. And if they're sitting there and they're used to getting free stuff, and they become entitled to that, then their children become entitled to that, and so on down the line. And now you got other people from other nations that want to come here because it sounds so good over here on the other side of the fence. If you can't come through the gate, or if you don't want to wait in line, you can just run across the border and everything's fine. But then when it backfires, and now suddenly we got to slow down this immigration thing, suddenly we got what they're trying to call concentration camps on our border. We don't have no concentration camps down there. If we did, the American people would be in an uproar. But the American people aren't as stupid as a lot of these politicians want us to believe they are. Now, granted, there are a lot of dumb people that want to do dumb things, like rushing into Area 51. That's probably not a wise choice, and it's like I said, they're not going to fare so well if they really go through it. So it's probably just a joke, but it may not be, because you've seen stupider things actually play out in reality by other people, like the guy shooting himself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. What was he thinking? I mean, what did he expect to occur when he shot himself in the face with a Roman candle? And why all the stupid people were standing around there rooting him on, incentivizing him? Yeah, do it. You're going to be famous on YouTube. You might be famous, I guess. Is it worth the cost? That's what I'm trying to ask, I guess. What do you think, Barbara?
I'm thinking about all the issues we're discussing, and I just keep hearing the word mesmerizing. You know, it's like,
yep,
the mesmerizing, like the using the word illegal outright, saying illegal, and using that term, and people just accepting that and standing on that side of the line. Yes, we must let these illegal immigrants have free this, free that, and so on, and standing up and fighting for that. Well, I don't get that. To me, that's mesmerizing. And the same thing with the Sharia law. You know, I didn't get the state, but recently one of the states just banned Sharia law. Let me see. But people are mesmerized. They don't see what is unfolding here. I'm going to see if I can find that. Which state banned Sharia?
Well, I'm glad they did.
But, yeah, me too.
But the thing is that those folks out there that I guess they call themselves social justice warriors, if they ever get what it is that they believe that they're wanting, it's not going to fare so well. Let's say hypothetically, all the people that have the belief that it's all right to stone people basically overpopulate the United States. Now it's predominantly this particular group of people that thinks it's all right to rape the women under certain circumstances, or you know that all women have to be covered up. Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of fight back against that by the American culture. But let's say there comes a day when the majority, the biggest majority of people are people from this culture right here. This culture's going downhill. And then when those folks who want to profess, you know, gay rights, or you know, the different types of genders or anything that disagrees with what Sharia law says is all right or not all right, they're not going to have their social justice. They're not going to have their freedoms, and so it seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot to spike their own face or whatever. You know, I don't know.
Well, I just, my question is, how many people in this country know that there's incrementally been coming into our law system, justice system, Sharia law? So the fact that they actually have to ban Sharia law tells you that incrementally Sharia law have been moving into our court system. Now, I'm looking at this photograph. I'm going to put this in the People for People chat. Sharia, there's a people standing here holding a sign that says Sharia will dominate the world. Okay? Now, if you don't think that this is real, you know, why are states, and by the way, there are more states that have banned Sharia law. Let me read this because I didn't know there's so many. But states have taken action to stand up to the growing problem of radical Islam being enforced in America. Each time a state passes a law to prevent courts from consulting Sharia, the Terror Connected Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, blasts state legislators for being Islamophobic while showing outright hostility toward Muslims. You see, this is the game. This is the mesmerizing, the magic. So the rules of Sharia are strict and are in direct violation of our Constitution. And I have read a thread a while back where some persons who follow Sharia law said the Sharia law is above our Constitution because they oppress women and violate everyone's liberties. Islamic Sharia has no place in civilized society. So here is the list. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, and Wyoming. So,
are those the ones that banned it?
These are the ones that banned it so far.
Good.
Not a lot.
Good.
But it's happening. But I mean, this is a reality piece. If you say, oh no, this is the religion of peace, and you are an Islamophobic if you, you know, are against this. But wake up, people, here's the mesmerizing happening right in your face.
Well, years
enough that states are actually banning Sharia law tells you that there's a big push for Sharia law in our justice system.
Years ago, there was a Fox News broadcast where this Islamic guy was saying that they believe that one day the Islamic flag will fly over the White House. Of course,
yep.
I being a patriot, didn't take that so well, so I did a crazy little video about maybe over the outhouse instead of the White House. Cause, no, we ain't having that. But
yeah.
It's like any other culture. You know, some folks say that we want this world to, or we want America to only be white. You know, it never was only white. And not from the beginning. You know, the indigenous people weren't white. It's a mixture of so many different cultures that you can't never say it was always white. You know, now, predominantly European, I don't know. I don't know the full statistics over the deal, but if you get one specific culture that just comes in and has tons and tons and tons of kids, over a period of time, the rest of them become the minority. You know, I would rather have the checks and balances of multicultures that all had the same idea of freedom and justice than one specific ideology getting a grip on the whole entire country. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, all right? You know, we know that there's corruption on both sides of the fence. We get that. But without those checks and balances of two different political parties constantly battling back and forth for power, I actually think it would be better if there was a third party in there, you know, a Libertarian Party or something like that, if there was actually a third or fourth party in there. But nonetheless, those two arguing back and forth actually buys us time to try to preserve our freedoms. And it's the one that are fighting for our freedoms that we're voting for the most. At least the ones that give the perception of fighting for our freedom. You know, of course, politicians will say anything to get elected. But by their actions, if they're doing what they said they were going to do when they get in there, then we deem those to be a good president. Now, on the opposite side of the fence, for those that don't like the direction that we're going, they got all these labels that they can push out there on people who support this other person as a racist or whatever. And so there are outside entities able to manipulate our elections by social media. I mean, you don't have to be in the United States to help to steer public opinion. A lot of people respect people from other, you know, nations, Scotland, Ireland, UK, even Britain, and all the different, you know, all of them you can name. There are people in there that are in the social media networks that will point out something that is not right or something that's wrong or whatever, and people listen to that. We have an opportunity to talk to each other from different, you know, cultures across international boundaries. And so things that are said over there can affect things that happen over here. So our elections have always been affected by the thoughts and opinions of other nations out there. But there are certain lines that we're just not going to allow to cross. There's just... You know, maybe I'm the last of a dying breed. I come from a different generation to where we respected our mothers and our fathers, and we said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and thank you, and please, and stuff like that. Where the newest generations to the point where you can say whatever you want because you're protected under that so-called freedom of speech. Never mind the fact that you might get socked in the nose for saying something hateful, but... Hey, that's one of the drawbacks of freedom, you know. There's a saying out there that says freedom isn't free. And the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if you ain't paying attention, you'll lose it before you ever even knew you had it. There's going to come a generation here in the United States where they didn't even know what the Constitution was if everything keeps going down the way it was. Even our history, Barbara. There's a lot of things in history that we should not forget. There's a lot of terrible atrocities that happen here in the United States that we should not forget. They should be left there as an example of what happened in the past so that we never repeat those things again. But there are people out there who want to erase that on both sides of the fence. You know, out of sight, out of mind. How are we ever going to know, you know, the bad choices we made in the past? If you take all these things that you deem to be hurtful or racist out of the public view where they don't even know about it anymore. There's things that's been told about stories that I didn't even know about. You know, it was this information age that made me aware of certain things in history that I wasn't aware of. So it's still a learning experience of what our true history is. But... if you got a critical mind and if you can think outside the box, we can see where our potential future could be. What do you think?
I'm having a discussion here. about this country and about the world. I'm just saying, you know, that we are all we're all in this mess together, and there are also beautiful things too that we're all involved together here.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm just saying, I'm trying to be honest here about the United States. I know the history of the United States now, and I think I'm pretty much up on the history of the whole world, because it's all a controlling factor by the same group of people. And I don't think any country is outside of the controlling factor. I don't. I think we've come to that realization, you know, quite a while back now. You know, and regardless of how many persons, whether you're German, Italian, Irish, French, Portuguese, whatever it is, that have come to the United States, you know, what they call the melting pot, you know. It's all over the world, there's a melting pot. You know, so to just claim that where you live is the ultimate place, and everybody else, everything else in the world is the bad place to be, you know, I think it's just like you're looking through rose-colored glasses. Here in the United States, there are extraordinary things happening, amazing things happening, awakenings, and all over the world. This is happening, and there's bad stuff, too. Our political system is really bad. It's been bad. The political system all over the world is run by the same behind the scenes in the back room, you know, group of people.
Yep.
I'm just saying, but not to spend time or expend energy on arguing about how many people live here, what's going on over there, or our country's better than your country, is to me wasted energy.
Yeah.
We all know that there are problems in every place. I'm just saying, we all know this.
Well, you're right. In every single culture, in every single nation, there were atrocities that happened to all kinds of people. And somehow or another, we've got to learn how to never repeat those atrocities again. You know, I don't agree with things that's happened in many countries. I don't agree with things that's happened in my country. I don't think we should sweep them under the rug, as in, you know, not to show anybody anymore, whether it be a statue or a flag or whatever. You know, I think that we need to keep that there, so that future generations, when they ask, they say, well, this is what happened. This is both sides of the story, and this is what this represents. And, you know, teaching the truth. We stopped teaching the truth somewhere in this world, because if it weren't the case, there were a couple videos out there that I seen in my lifetime. One had to do with the Holocaust, and one had to do with slavery. Both of which saddened my heart as a child to see these two things, and I couldn't see how they could treat people the way that they did, and the fact that those were part of history. And there were, you know, there's another video, I can't remember which one it was, but it had to do with the Native Americans before we ever even got here, as the, you know, other side coming in here. I say that we just kind of paint with a wide brush, because I've got heritage from both sides of the fence. But either way, there were so many different atrocities that stemmed from here clear over to Europe and around the world, that even in China and Japan, you name any nation out there, and I guarantee you, somewhere in history there was something that was just really rotten about what was going on. And every one of those broke my heart when I heard about them. You know? There's things that I didn't even know about that I didn't find out until we started doing this Knights of the Round Table, and information started coming to the table. But I think the overall thing to take away from this is that, you know, you cram all these cultures together, and they're all different. You're going to have to expect that their things ain't necessarily going to fare so well. And there are people out there who are intentionally doing this. I don't believe that the majority of people are intentionally racist. And I don't even believe that the majority of people are intentionally concerned that maybe one day they might be in the minority. I don't think that's the case. I think as Americans, we should think as Americans. Same way with Australia and Russia and all the different nations of the world. I want all of these nations to be just who they are. I want these cultures to be out there because I want that diversity. I want these people, let the best culture lead by example, so to speak.
Well, to me, this is there's another side to this, and this is the push for the New World Order.
Yep.
There's a whole push on opening the borders and intermingling and mixing of the cultures, but with this, I guess in Europe, things are really quite serious there.
But we were doing that on our own. That's what I'm saying. We were already doing that on our own. We didn't need to be forced by a New World Order to mix our cultures. We were already doing that.
Well, the mixing of the cultures is only one thing. I mean, as it unfolds naturally, I suppose you could say, but this is a push on a bigger scale, and it's not just about mixing of cultures. It's New World Order, or One World Order. It has to do with a bigger emphasis on control of everything. Losing your freedoms, losing your rights, your freedoms, your culture, and so on. This is what we're talking about. That's part of the agenda. The natural flow of movement of people throughout the world, you know, is unfolding naturally. But you have masses of people being pushed, you know, being pushed out of their own countries due to, you know, particular things that are deliberately being done on a mass scale. This is not natural, the flow. I'm just saying.
Well, here's something that I brought up a long time ago. Are you familiar with the North American Union?
A little bit, I am.
Well, the North American Union, according to this Wikipedia, which everybody knows how I feel about Wikipedia by now, but nonetheless, it says the North American Union is a theoretical, economic, and political continental union of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. The concept is loosely based on the European Union, occasionally included a common currency called the Amero and the North American dollar. There's also the Asian Union. They divided the entire world up into three separate segments. So putting all of Canada and Mexico and the United States all in one, according to this treaty that was supposedly signed in the conspiracy world, I'm just going to do the air quotes thing. I know you can't see them, but you can feel them. I'm doing the air quotes. According to the conspiracy world, that they already signed a treaty years ago, like things like NAFTA and GATT and all these different other things that were portioned, just little fragments of the whole entire deal. They signed these, so technically, according to that treaty, there is no Mexico, there is no America, there is no Canada. We're all one North American Union. And so, it could be all this time that they had already broke down the doggone borders and basically had to try to abide by that treaty by allowing the borders to be open, but they couldn't just up and do it, because if they did and people got wise to what was actually going on, that they would fight against it. And because Americans are literally armed to the teeth, that's probably not a good idea. It's probably just as bad of an idea as bum rushing Area 51, because the Americans ain't going to stand for it. Now, I don't know how the Canadians feel about it. You'd have to ask somebody from Canada. I don't know how Mexico feels about it. You have to ask somebody from Mexico. Now, would it be nice to have the world without borders? I think, yeah, it'd be awesome. If we could all just get along and help each other out, that'd be spectacular. But unfortunately, and all you have to do is look at society, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for the clash of the cultures. If we were ready for the clash of the cultures, you and me and Patty wouldn't be having this conversation right now. We wouldn't be concerned about how we're being forced together. Before any of this border thing ever came about, there were people from America going to Canada and Canada coming to America. There were people going to Mexico and coming back and forth. We were mixing our cultures since the whole thing started. So we were doing that on our own. We didn't need to be forced into this. And at the same time, while being forced into this, we've been told of all of our differences. This person over here, he's an Islamic radicalist, and this is a Christian radicalist, and this is, you know, you could just go on and on. They put all these differences, put all these labels on us, and then shoved us together in hopes that we'd do exactly what they assumed we would do, which to some extent we are. We're fighting amongst each other. We're wasting energies that we could be, you know, working together. Hi, Patty, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Great conversations today. And I do have to say you're right. You know, we should not live in a world that there has to be differences that separate us. We shouldn't live in a world where there have to be fences and borders. It shouldn't be that way. That is not the natural way. But we don't live in that world. This world has been co-opted, and we along with it, and our mindsets have been scrambled, screwed with. And, you know, in order to get back to good, I don't know how we do that as long as there's somebody still in there stirring the pot. Like you're talking about, when we look at the immigration issues that we're facing here across the globe, we're not bringing in people with a mindset of melding, of coming together. Control is purposely bringing in the extremists from all sides. And what they did before they started this was to build that extremism. It didn't come by on its own. There was always that ability. Religion is that way. Governments are that way, have always been. But the people themselves, we used to have immigration where people came to this country from other countries that were extreme and had extremist views, but they came to the countries to leave that behind.
Yep.
And they came into the and mixed cultures and lived together. I remember those times. I do. But we don't live in those times anymore. Everything's been manipulated. Everything has been coerced. Everything is meant to destroy our unity together. And the extremists have been created. They were built. Not to say that there wasn't always a portion that were extreme, but it was never government sanctioned and government or religion, you know, like the extremist views of some Muslims. You know, we have right now where people hate all Muslims, and there are extremist Muslims, and they're growing, but they were built. They were created by governments, and this is what we're up against. We're not up against each other as much as we are the ideologies that we've been indoctrinated into, you know. Yeah. And we see this indoctrination happening across the board, not just in the races and the cultures, but in the children who are being taught and indoctrinated in the systems of religion and education and all of this, that you don't have to think about it, just react. Just act and react the way we tell you to, because we know better than you. So we have children coming up that have no care about decency, no care about moral values, no care about ethics, because they're being taught this.
Well, let me
we have children that are
that.
Being sexualized. And I'm looking at the future, and I'm scared to death for our children.
Yeah, I
really am.
Let me add something else to that. You know, we talked about how that indoctrination goes, but we've been told for so long that the world is overpopulated. And so, to some people's mind, war would be a justification for shortening that population down. I don't believe in any fashion that our world is overpopulated, But you can see where if you start teaching people that they're all going to starve to death because we got too many people in the world, you make it easier for those people to make a conscious decision to go to battle with one another. Do you think I'm wrong or right?
No, I think you're right, but it takes a lot of courage. I mean, you look at the extremist places like Sudan, Somalia, places where they raise these extremists. And if they step out of that, if they try to remove themselves, then in the best case scenario, they're just kicked out. But that's rarely what happens. Usually they're kicked. If you don't go along with the program, you are ostracized or you are done away with.
Yep.
And so you've got fear that keeps these people in this extremist view. And then you have the instigators that are giving them reasons to be extremist. I mean, you look at what our government has done over in the Middle East and everything. I mean, after people have been bombed and destroyed over and over and over, even though when you look back through historical texts and things like this, you see that they were always warring against each other. That's different. That is different than having people come in and teach you how to be more radical,
yeah,
to show you how to be harsher to each other and to everyone else. So, we've watched this being constructed and built, and now we're dealing with the fallout from that. This was always their intent. It's why we were over there bombing and making enemies.
Well, and that's why that's something as simple as bringing your flag from your country over here and calling yourself an immigrant or whatever, you're bringing your country here to me, and I know maybe a lot of people disagree with it, but when you plant your flag from another nation that you're supposedly retreating from because it's not a good place to live, that's not immigration, that's invasion. There's no nice way to say it. You don't bring.
Yeah.
It's all right to bring your culture, okay? That's cool. But most people come over here to become Americans. If you're bringing your flag and you're planting it down and you're proud of your country, well, why did you leave to begin with? I know that's somebody gonna say that's racist to say that. But, every nation, how many, do you think you could go to communist China and raise the American flag and say, hey, I'm proud of my country? Okay.
Well, what they do is like, let's look at Guatemala and Honduras and places like this. These were socialist countries that suffered the people. I mean, the people suffered greatly. But they were part of that culture, and they loved Guatemala, and they loved Honduras. It's where they were born. But it became so unbearable there that when they came in and they said, hey guys, how about this?
Yeah.
How about we go after America, because America is the reason why you're feeling this way and you're doing this. It has nothing to do with socialism. Of course, we had our fingers in that. America is not innocent in any way, but they're not unlike any other country. There is no country that holds innocence.
Yeah.
But anyway, what they did is they took these people who were in a state of fear for their own lives, for the well-being of their children. And they radicalized them and said, America's the bad guys, and if you go over there and you run them over, then you're gonna get a piece of that pie, and it's gonna be a lot better for you. So by the time they get here, they're so radicalized, they've been indoctrinated, they've been coached, they've been told that America bad, usurp America. So they come over here with their flags. They're not coming over as a flag. They're coming over here because they want a better life. They've been told that this is why we're getting you in there. This is why we're going to bring you there. And so they're taking any venue they can to better their lives for their children. Now, not all of them. A lot of them are there to run drugs and to run trafficking, sex trafficking, and to do all of these illegal things.
Some of them are just here to make money and take the money back to their families.
Yes, and they've been doing that for years and years and years. Nobody had a problem with it. Nobody had a problem with it until our government, people in our government, started making it a problem.
Yep.
And created this problem. This is where we all, you know, we can't look at the people on this planet and say, you know, you did this all on your own, because nobody did. None of us have done anything on our own. We've been coached. We've been indoctrinated. We've been
propagandized.
Yes, to think and to believe in what our governments had to say and how they said it and why we need to be this way and why we need to fear this person, that person, when all along it was the governments that we should have been fearing and balking against and saying, no, we don't have to be this way because we never were this way before and we all got along.
Well, that's why I said earlier that if we
look at America, look at how many cultures are here.
Yep.
Look how many cultures are here. Before, we've got places that like Chinatown, like here in Kansas, Lindsborg, Kansas, which is a Dutch community.
Little Italy.
You know, there was never a problem. There was never problems. Well, we celebrated those. Oh, I want to go to Chinatown. Oh, I want to go to Lindsborg.
Yeah,
oh,
cool.
I want to go and experience that culture.
You could go to that culture without having to go across the, you know, to the actual country. But what I was saying earlier was that I believe that if left to our own devices without all the manipulation, we've already been mixing our cultures. We've already been sharing our cultures. We were doing fine until somebody decided they had to put a color or a label on us. And,
exactly.
And so it's just like the kids in the
in
the playpen. They were doing fine until somebody taught them there was a difference.
Right.
If you give free
stuff.
Go ahead.
Well, I grew up celebrating Cinco de Mayo, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, you know, and everybody did. I wasn't Irish. I wasn't from Mexico, but we joined in those celebrations.
Yeah.
And everybody got along. People that I knew, they loved to go to Mexico, and Mexico loved to have
them
there.
You know what, Patty? On those days, like 4th of July, you had Mexicans waving the American flag. You had people of all different cultures, Irish people waving the American flag. They celebrated our holidays just as long as we celebrated their holidays. We did that. We didn't have to ask. Nobody had to force us into it. We did that.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say, when you get an idea to use people for your political benefit, like giving them free stuff so that they'd vote for you, this is where things started to go awry, where people started controlling people's lives by giving them free stuff, you know, and then your party would then be favored by those people that you're feeding, you know, giving free this, free that, you know, so this is all political. The whole thing is political.
Yes.
For a certain person's advantage, not your advantage. It's for certain political parties. They don't care about the people. They're using people. They've been using us. They're using these immigrants. They're using, you know, the push, you know, to open the borders and so on. You know, I mean, you have, every country has a legal entry rules.
Yep.
Every country, no matter where you go. I mean, it's a sad thing.
Well,
hey, if what you were saying is not true, there would be no such thing as a passport.
That's right. I mean, but they've set us up in every aspect of our lives. The authority has set us up with everything to do with, we need a license, we need a document, we need a passport, we need their permission. It never used to be this way. Never. I mean, people traveled all over the country and all over the world long before these political people started taking positions and determining, well, we could use these people to our advantage.
Yep.
And let's tax them. Let's give them, they have to have a license to be born. They have to have a license to get married. They have to have a passport. They have to have a document. They have to do this to buy land. It's not really your land once you buy it. I mean, it's become an insane system here that we have been ruled under, and we've just let it happen incrementally.
So let's follow the body trails back to the actual demons that are the Jerry Springers that stir in the pot. Who's the one behind the scenes actually doing that? The man behind the curtain. That's the whole thing. You follow the money trail? Yeah. Follow the money trail and the body trail, and you'll find the ones that are doing this stuff to us.
Well, you see what we're doing here, though. You see how what's going on in the world is we are fighting amongst ourselves. All right? We are disagreeing amongst ourselves. We have our opinions. We have our perceptions. We get into discussions. We get into fights. We get into whatevers. And this is part of their plan, is to pit us against each other. Meanwhile, they have made all the rules, and they have put us in a box, you know, and surrounded us with all these rules and regulations, and the authorities say this, that, and whatever, and we're fighting each other. And this is exactly what they want.
Yeah, that's
another interesting thing is that when not prompted, you know, like, okay, take for instance, PFP. How many of you have asked someone here what race they are? How many of you here on PFP have said, because you're from here, I'm not going to talk to you?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened.
No.
It hasn't happened. Nobody's asked what race you are. Nobody's asked what ideology you are. And we have different races, and we have different ideologies here. Yeah. You know, different political stances. We don't always agree, but we respect the fact that we have these differences. And we can come together. This is the way that it's truly meant to be. But we're left alone in our little venue here. Once we step out of here, you know, we will see the ugliness rear its head, not necessarily from us at all, but in the other places we go.
Constantly under attack.
It's everywhere, but it's being pushed. Yes, it's being pushed in those social media areas, and things like this. It's being instigated, and at the bottom line, when you look at it all, underneath, it's all being pushed by government and by authority.
Yep.
There's always someone from authority or government stirring the pot. Always a reason, and it falls back to the government said. The government did. You know?
I think you have to look at what the emphasis is on. What's the emphasis in society? What is the mainstream media pushing the emphasis on a daily basis? You have to kind of like step back and look at that. Because they're emphasizing race, they're emphasizing hate, they're emphasizing, you know, all these things they are pushing, and the people are just following like sheep.
Well, something more than that is the fact that they actually use our good at hearts, our love for one another against us, because obviously if somebody tells me that this guy's being racist against this guy because of the color of his skin, I'm not going to like that. I don't want nobody mistreating my friends. And so I'm going to speak out against it. So that's what they do. They take and do everything from playing us against each other, using the kids as a wedge between us, using each other, our color, or political, or religious, or spiritual views, or whatever. They're masters of manipulation. And they do it for one purpose, and that's money and power. They've always been doing this to us. And that's why I don't know how to get the message across to people. You know, when you got a fight going on, let's say you got a whole giant bar room and it's all in one big brawl. It's hard to be the one in the center trying to be the peacemaker and shout it down. Everybody calm down. Listen to reason, you know. You're liable to get clubbed in the process of trying to bring peace to the doggone room. But this is why they do what it is that they do. This is why they keep us fighting against each other. This is why you get two different sides of the story. You know, one person's like hating Trump, all everything about Trump, and he's cussing and raising a ruckus, and the other one's saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily, may not necessarily be a Trump supporter, but some of the things that he says and does, I think I could agree with, and maybe there's a happy medium in there somewhere. But they're not going to have it. If it goes anywhere against any narrative that they have been indoctrinated to believe in, and maybe on my side I've been indoctrinated to believe that conservative views the way to go. But nonetheless, if we can't find a happy medium of ground where we can sit here and talk respectfully like we do here around this round table, we're not going to be able to get anywhere. I'm not going to sit around and argue whether your spiritual journey, your political views, any better or worse than mine. I'm just going to put the facts on the table and let the facts speak for themselves. And I'm going to let my actions speak for the content of my character. You see what I'm saying?
I kind of think that either liberal or conservative, they both have manipulations and rules and regulations to control. All right. So I think we have to become our own keeper, our own, captain of our own ship.
Yeah.
Because all these systems, liberal, political arenas, the conservatives, whatever it is, these are systems that have been put in place, and they have controlling factors on them. Every system, the education system becomes political.
Yep.
Financial system becomes political. It's all political. And it's all about controlling the minds and the acts of people and the determinations and decisions that people need to make in regards to their own health and well-being, safety and security of themselves, their families, and so on. So you have to step away from that system.
Well, what would be a system, what would be a name for a system that is stepped away from the system that doesn't subscribe to any given political, ideologically, or whatever type of view that just does what humans would actually do naturally if they were left alone to their own devices and not manipulated?
Free.
I don't know if you want to call it a system. I think it's a state of mind. It's a state of being. It's a state of, you know, inner self, inner connectedness, connectedness to the whole, common sense, critical thinking, compassion, love. I don't know if there's a word or a system in general that you could say that that's what that is. Yeah, and Angeline says,
it's called the will of God.
I like that. I can subscribe to that one.
Yeah, and I agree. And I agree with that. I mean, I don't use the term God, but I think we're all talking about the same thing. And I think that that is being attacked.
Yeah.
You know? I think that is deliberately being attacked, anything, and I think that's why we're in trouble.
Anything that's good or moral has been under attack. You know, when you sit there and paint everybody who wears a red hat as all these different labels, and they're hateful labels, they're quite literally reverse racism. And even though, you know, mentally in my mind, as I'm looking out into a crowd of people wearing these red hats that says Make America Great, regardless of the phrase or any of that kind of stuff right there, I'm seeing multicolors out there. I'm not just seeing, you know, this white supremacist. How's a black man a white supremist? You know?
That red hat signifies a person. All right, that red hat signifies a man named Donald Trump. That's what that red hat signifies. And the people have been pushed to hate Donald Trump because it's a political issue. Okay? Because Donald Trump is going against the system, okay, that has been put in place for generations that control everything. The deep state, you want to call it, or the dark, or the dirty, whatever you want to call it. Okay, he's in a different arena. That red hat represents him. And those that are, you know, threatened by him are doing everything that they possibly can to bring the rest of the population into hating that man and hating people who wear that red hat.
Well, I tell you what, I wish there was some way that I could go spend a couple hours with that man and sit down and have a real people-to-people conversation. I really wished I could. Because I come back and I tell you the truth, exactly what I felt, no matter which side of the deal it landed on. I tell you the truth, my honest opinion of what I would really love to sit down with this man who's the leader of the free country and have a conversation. Now, obviously, that's not likely.
Well, I'm going to say
there's a guy on YouTube. He is black. And he did a video. He's been a Trump supporter. He was on an airplane, and he put his MAGA hat on, and everyone that came by that sneered at him, he smiled and said, you know, stuff like, I love you anyway, and things like this, and tried to have dialogue. And then when he got off the plane, a woman walked up to him and said something and everything. Well, he had this video out that he was talking about the unity that people should be going for and things like this. And Trump saw the video, and he invited him to the White House. Trump has done this dozens of times to the regular, everyday people who've had a positive and good message to send. These people who have been invited have been ostracized, have been, you know, threatened by his own race.
Their lives have been threatened.
Because they wanted to bring people together in unity.
Yep.
So we have to look at this and say, where is this coming from? Well, you don't have to look too far. All you have to do is look at the media and what it is propagating on the daily news. All you have to do is look at the political system and what it is propagating on a daily basis. You know, we've had this issue at the border. You guys were talking about it, where in Texas they have the place where they bring the people, the illegal immigrants. And the Democrats went down there. AOC stood by a fence in an empty parking lot and pretended like she was seeing atrocities being committed.
Her eyes out.
She never went, she didn't go into the place, but then she made a lot of false statements. Well, Candace Owens is a black woman, who went there, and she went through the, place, and she's got a video out, and everyone should watch it. Go to YouTube and watch it, because she said, and it is amazing, that people found fault in this. She said that they, and she told us exactly what she saw there. These people that are being held in this detention center that they called it, they have a hair salon, they have a library, they have the food. They can go in the kitchen and cook their own food if they want, however they want it. They have dormitories that are better than the university dormitories. They have school for kids. They have doctors that they can go to at any time for any reason. They have all these things that the children here who are homeless, that live in shelters, don't have, that even are in the poverty areas, don't have resources.
Well, that sounds
now,
like
she's
a far
pointing
time.
Out.
Sorry about that.
She's pointing out the lies that are being propagated by the political, and people need to see this video. And it's Candace Owens. Go check her out on YouTube.
Well, if you can find the link, I want to check it out myself, but that sounds like a far cry from a concentration camp.
Yeah, but this is what we're up against. We're not up against each other. We're up against principalities and authorities that are skewing everything to make sure that we don't ever, ever, ever come together. You know, I'll get that video for you here, and I'll post it.
Well, I'll even post it on the site. I really want to see that.
But I want to just address what you said before. You mentioned free country. This has never been a free country. So I disagree with you on that. Because now we're finding out that it's not ever been a free country. There's never been any free countries. There's never been any. The vote is not real. This whole country has been under a deep state rule, a dark state rule, and according to what, you know, we have found out, and we're still, you know, we're still going to wait to see what really does unfold in the final piece, is that Trump is realizing that this has not been a free country.
Well, you know why that angers me, Barbara? It doesn't anger me for what you said. It angers me because I come from a long line of military people who went out and sacrificed, in some incidents, the ultimate price to preserve what they believed to be freedom. So them being under an illusion of freedom all this time, that's frustrating because, you know, they were lied to. Under false pretenses, went over and had terrible things done to them and probably even had to do terrible things in order to try to win what they were thinking was going to be freedom for people. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, I think of my dad in World War II. I think of all the men and women that have gone to literally slaughter as a blood sacrifice for the elite, for the dark, for the evil. And this is across the world. Your people over there in your country, wherever you were taken by your so-called leaders, has been a blood sacrifice. I think of all these men and women, young people, have been used by these elite. And this is what we have to look at. And we sign up, you know, because we're patriots. Yes, you know, the patriots. You're patriot for your country and you follow what your government tells you to do. But you don't know that the government is lying through their teeth and using your children for their own blood sacrifice and their own pocket. And this is what's been going on pretty much all over the world. This is not just in the United States. So this country has never been a free country. It's all been a lie. And I stand by that strongly. We're the only ones that have the ability to free ourselves and to create freedom and peace here in the world. We're the only ones. Unity, togetherness, because we're all the same. We're all one big family. We all want the same. We do.
Yeah.
But so as long as you are strapped into and chained into the system, that's where you're going to be, chained. And you're going to be ruled and owned and controlled. So you have to step away from this system. You have to become your own, the captain of your own ship. You have to find your truth within you. You have to build your own strong foundation, a spiritual foundation, because I do believe this is a spiritual war. Okay, this is not, I'm not talking religion. I'm just talking about what is inside of you is a light. What is inside of you is a sacredness. Okay, and they've controlled that. They've taken that away from us. They've taken away our true essence, our original nature.
We are no longer thinking about what's right and wrong and acting upon that. We are thinking about what's being told to us is right and wrong and acting on that.
I need to address a comment that just came into me in Skype here. Troy out there, he asked, how about disability gets $720 a month and the cheapest rent is $1,500 a month, no utilities? Even the system that is supposedly the welfare system is so incredibly flawed, you can't survive on $720 a month here in the United States, not living like people think you live. But there are people that can game the system, and they know how to get more money out of the system. You know, it's you take the man out of the family, you take the family apart, and you tell the man if he's not in the home, then the wife will get more money for every kid
or more
that
she's
kids got.
If you have more kids,
you break that family structure down, and then you wonder why society turns out the way that it is. That was a great question there, Troy. I appreciate that. Look, $720 a month, I can't see how anybody can live on it, especially when the cheapest rent in their area is $1,500. And think about the people in Australia with their utility bills. I had a friend tell me his bill every month was like $1,250. That's a
lot
of money.
When you have free energy. Well,
yeah.
See, the system, again, the system has set it up so we are dependent and reliant upon their system.
Yep.
Don't you think if the education in the countries was to benefit the young people, to give them skills so that they can support themselves and their families, don't you think that if the education system was a true system, a real system, that helped young people to become, you know, what they were meant to become, or to fulfill themselves, or to have a skill where they could support themselves. But it's not that way. That's not, the education system doesn't do that. So the system, all systems, the authoritarian systems, including education, are messed up, screwed up, to really screw up and mess up the people, and to keep them dependent upon the government.
Yep.
So that's why you have, you know, people get on the dole, they call that, I guess, because, yeah, they get money. If you have more kids, you get more money.
Yep.
And you don't have the you don't have the will. You don't have the will to move forward in life or succeed or become a person.
Well, and once a father gets used to not having to have any responsibility, that the system's actually going to take care of his children for him. Now, you take that a little bit farther to an extent of one that is married to a lady, and then they get a divorce, that they hold that one particular father accountable for child support and stuff like that. And if they don't actually pay their child support on time, there's actual jail time involved in it. Plus, they got to come back and pay the back pay and stuff like that. Well, you get a person not having to fulfill their responsibility of taking care of a child financially. You know, even though they're not in that house, they're going to go out and have as many children as they want. And so it's just a constant circle of destruction that just rips apart communities. And there's so many different factors that could play into there, everything from drug use to, rape or whatever, violence and all that. And then they turn around and say, oh, well, I'm this way because the government did it, or I can't get a job because people are racist. But the whole reality is, yeah, maybe the government did do it by being the enabler for you to not have to be responsible for your own deal. Does that sound wrong? Am I explaining it right, or what?
Yes. But what comes to my mind also is, you introduce drugs, you introduce alcohol. Okay, this is part of the dirty system. Okay, the government has actually brought in, the alcohol and drugs, and pushed these various things on the people to make it easy for them to become, addicted. And we have this happening. We have the fentanyl. We have the spiking in pieces, dropping dead from fentanyl. Now you have CEOs of that company that pushed this fentanyl, that knew all about it. You have pharmacists, you have doctors, they're all being arrested for freely pushing these drugs upon the people and creating a terrible addiction.
Yep. In this country. What a mess. Well, folks, we got to start wrapping this thing up. It's just a fascinating conversation we've had today. I started off and saying, name this show. I still don't have a name for this particular show, so I might just leave it, name this show. You choose for yourself. But there's so many things going on out there, and you got to find a way to get a grip on it so that you can resolve it. But don't ever come to the conclusion that we don't have solutions for these problems. We need to first understand that the people manipulating it don't have our best interests, and that our best allies is each other. We can't do any better than each other as far as who's going to represent us the best. Sitting at this table, I have all the faith in the world that if I was in the gym, these two ladies would help me out, and vice versa. You know, and every single time that there's any kind of incident occurring out there, you see the average Joe coming in there to help each other out. We never needed any kind of push to integrate into other people's cultures and societies and, become neighbors with them and stuff like that. We were doing that long before the system ever even came into play. We live under this illusion that we believe we're free, but in reality, are we truly free when if you don't pay your taxes, they'll sell your house right out from underneath you on the courthouse steps, and then they'll have law enforcement come remove you from said property. So we the people, if a lot of folks think that America is this really lovely place to live in, they're in for a surprise when they get here and find the reality of it. If you consent and comply and allow certain things to be done to you, then you could actually live a tolerable life here in the United States. But if you step out of line, One time, you only got to say the wrong word to the wrong person of power and money, and they can destroy your entire life. That's how simple it is. The beast that is actually behind the systems, I think, is quite literally the devil. But you be the judge on that. I'm thinking we're fighting against some darkness that's pretty bad. But I still honestly believe, I still believe in the dream. I still believe we still have the power with our words and our actions that we can actually steer this boat in another direction. So they're never going to get that away from me until the entire thing is done. Until it's all over, I'm still going to believe what I believe. I'm still going to believe that we have hope, and I'm still going to share that hope with everybody. So with that said, which one of you ladies want to go first? Got any words of wisdom to share with people?
Go ahead, sis.
Okay. Well, I think that having your eyes open and your mind open, seeing what is really in front of you, asking the critical questions like, if my government truly cares, if my government was created to care for the people, how's it doing its job? Is it doing a good job? No, it's not. If you think you are free, tell your government no.
Yeah.
And see how free you are. If you think that your government is doing right by you, and you are, like Angel is telling us, have lost everything while the government has turned its back on you and actually taken from you, then the government never was working for you. It never was working for you, and it never will, because it cannot afford to serve the people. If a government ever attempts to serve the people, then it will cease to exist. So we, the people, the onus is on us. You can't change a system that was created to be what it is. Like Two Dog used to always say, a snake will always be a snake, even though it tells you that it's not.
Yep.
It will always be what it is, and a government will always be what it is. It is a system of control, and if you are controlled, then you have no rights. Your rights are abdicated to the system, and when they decide that you will no longer act in a way conducive to your benefit, then you won't. And that's the way it is. That's the way it will always be. So it's up to us. You know, this system only works because we give it the leeway. We say, we will cow down. We will do what you say. But the moment that we all come together and say, we're not going to play the game anymore, then the system is done, because we are the system when it comes down to it. There's a lot of good we can do. There's always been a lot of good that we can do. We've been stifled. We can do great things. We just need to rid ourselves of a parasite called government. Just saying.
Well, I think really the people of all different nations need to spit out the pacifier, because it's sour, and rely on their own deal, because that's all they do, is they pacify us with little shiny things and tell us, yeah, we're going to do something good for it. We're going to save the children. We're going to save the planet. And their actions are contrary to what it is that they claim. They'll say anything that they can to get their bottoms back in the seats of power and stay there. Because we are literally doing exactly what we do with our celebrities. We're raising these people up to godlike status and allowing them to get by with everything under the sun, not excluding murder. And we're okay with that. But are we really? I'm not. Are you ladies okay with that? We gotta understand we're being played like a banjo before we can stop the show. Anyway, how about you, Barbara?
Well, thank you so much for the show. And I haven't been on for a while. I've been really busy in life, and So I'm happy to be here today, and it's always good to see so many people here in the chat and meet new friends again. And so much. I guess I want to say we all have a story, you know. And I've heard many people's stories. I sit with a lot of people who come, you know, looking for help and so on in the work that I do. And I'm sitting there listening to the story of people, and in my mind I'm saying, holy mackerel, wow, and oh my gosh, and jeez. You know, in my own mind I'm responding to their story about what these people have endured from childhood into that day, and I'm just blown away by the stories of people and what we all have endured and how we remain.
Yep.
Like, you know, we say we will remain. We are still here. There's something inside of us that is very powerful, and it's there. It's present. It is powerful. And I think, yeah, that's why they have to put us under control. They have to control us because we are powerful, because they can beat us up. They can take everything. They can pummel us. They can pour acid on us. They can poison us. They can do all this stuff to control us and take us down. But we are still here, you know, and I guess that goes for a lot of nations. Like the Indian people say that, you know, we're still here. Our people are still here, and the people have endured. Your people out there have endured horrors. Everybody has a story. It's not just my story. My story is your story. Your story is my story. That's why I say we're all in this together. You're not alone. I know I'm not alone. And we are here, you know, talking about things and supporting each other, sharing our stories. And some of them are mind-blowing,
yep,
mind-boggling, horrific. But you're here. This is what I have to look at. When I see those people come to me and they sit before me and tell me their story, I'm horrified. I'm mortified. I have my own horrible story, but I'm still here. I've made it through. You're still here. You've made it through. So there's some reason why you're here. I had to come to that conclusion. I'm here for a reason. You're here for a reason. Every one of us is significant. And we are in this battle. And you're meant to be here. You're not alone. And we are talking here about the beautiful things, the terrible things, the rough things, the amazing things. And this is all part of our story. And I just want to say, you know, you're all awesome, every one of you. And I'm so glad that I'm on People for People, to be able to share the stories and listen to your story, and just know that you're not alone. I know I'm not alone, and I have something far greater that always supports me, that always embraces me, that always lifts me up, that always touches me when I'm in the darkest places. And I know you are all a part of that, so I just want to thank you, Pilamaya Doksha. See you soon.
I agree, and great words as usual. Folks, there's people that live in prison, been in prison so long that they actually find ways to be comfortable in a place where they know they're in prison. And I got a feeling that a lot of societies and a lot of different cultures have actually experienced the same thing, because it seems to be like when we're told we're living in this freedom and we're under the illusion that we are to some extent free, we find ways to be comfortable in a prison that, you know, we're locked in. And I think that even in those situations, people seem to do good things for each other, even though the circumstances are bad. So no matter how bad things get, there's always something. There's always something, some way. It seems like the human spirit has a way to find a way to be comfortable, even in the worst situations. I'm thinking that we can actually turn this thing inside out. We can make this world better. I honestly believe that. With everything that is my spirit, I honestly believe that we can do this. But we have to first realize what's happening to us, and we got to step away from that system. We don't have to go up against the dragon direct, so to speak, or the beast. We don't have to go to war with them. All we have to do is start doing what it is that they've been trying to avoid us doing all along, and that's working together. If we actually took the time and the effort, you know, these people got a Facebook thing going, and they got like 500,000 people trying to think about going bum rushing Area 51. If they could only use that, if they could only focus that, instead of trying to do something ridiculous, something that's probably not going to fare so well, towards things that we've talked about here on People for People and Shaziz Radio, imagine 500,000 people deciding to do something good for this world, how big of a wave, not just a ripple, how big of a wave that would send out to the world. That's a possibility. That's why I keep doing what I'm doing, hoping that somehow or another my voice will get over the top of that brick wall that's in front of us, and it'll be heard. And those words will ripple and resonate with other people out there who will say, hey, yeah, let's start our own round table. Let's start our own radio network. Let's get out there and let's talk like these people have been talking to the other people for years. Because your words are really powerful. And if you don't think so, go out and test it out. I tell you, you take the same exact word and say it in many different tones and you'll find you're going to get a different response for every single one. There is something to what Barbara talks about, the frequencies and the way that you reach out to communicate with people. We have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for, and I'm talking to you as an individual. If you're looking for a miracle, then go take a peek in the mirror. You'll see the miracle you've been waiting for, and we've been waiting for you as well. We need each and every one of you to be that missing piece of the puzzle that brings us together to do exactly what it is that the system has been trying to avoid us in accomplishing all these years. We don't need to label each other. We need to work together, and we need to take and understand that each one of us is unique. Each one of us is special. In my mind, in my eyes, you're all my family, and that's the way I want it to be for the rest of the world. So, if you hear anything in this podcast that speaks to your heart, speaks to your spirit, I want you to share this link with somebody. You know, I don't care if they don't show up here. As long as they show up somewhere. People for People Radio, show up over there. Go start your own network. As long as you show up with that message and you're trying to spin that message out there to everybody else, the words that came out of Patty's mouth and out of Barbara's mouth are words of wisdom from things, trials and tribulations that they've witnessed throughout their entire life. That's why I love these two ladies more than you can imagine. This is a good thing we're doing here, the Knights of the Round Table. This is why it is that I feel so desperate that this is important enough message to share with everybody that you come across who you think needs to hear it. Folks, I can't say more than that. Peace and love to everybody. You take care. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Share the love.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow.
Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet unsing able. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot. Oh,
have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Says he's the turbo. Always looking to save the turbo. And